Bengals fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field for what will be the final time this season. It's a beautiful night for baseball. We're sitting around 85 degrees with a slight... Another reminder, you still got time to bring your family out to the ballpark here at Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's the finale of this game series and the finale of the 2024 summer season. The Colt 45s will be sending Eric Winchester out to the mound. He's getting the baseball tonight from manager Bob Anderson to take on NBO Sacramento. And Dan Acedo. The starting lineups have now been announced, and Eric Winchester is concluding his warm-up tosses out there in left field. The Colt 45s looking to get their 19th win in a row. They won the ball game last night. They're looking for the three-game streak to close out their season. As I said before, it'll be the 6'4", 230 right-hand pitcher out of Stetson University in Diamond Bar, California, Eric Winchester. On the year, he has a 2.30 ERA in seven games. He started all seven. He has one complete game shutout. That was a no-hitter that came earlier in the season against TKB Baseball. He struck out 12 in that outing and walked one. He went the distance, and the Colt 45s won the ballgame by a score of 3-0. In Winchester's last outing, he went four innings, giving up three earned runs, seven hits, struck out four. That was against the South Bay Storm. The Colt 45s won that ballgame by a score of 22-7. On the year, Winchester's 6-0. One game where he did not get the win, the Colt 45 still went on to win the ball game by a score of 11-8 when they scored three in the bottom of the eighth. The Colt 45 wearing their home yellows with the black short sleeves underneath, and NBO Sacramento back in their road short sleeve blue jerseys. Eric Winchester has been the ace all season long for the Colt 45. Nearly every time he's gone out there, he has dominated the opposing team. That is what he looks to do tonight, facing off against NBO Sacramento. NBO Sacramento is the only other team this season who has came to visit Tiger Field and play the Colt 45 in two separate instances. In the first three-game series earlier in the year, the NBO Sacramento Ball Club was able to steal one game. They got the win in the second game of the series. It was a 4-0, 11-7 loss, rather, on June 21st, and then the previous loss before that for the Colt 45s, which is the last loss they've had this season, was June 25th against the Fresno Athletics by a score of 4-0. Now we're getting some pregame festivities, so both ball clubs will be coming together to stretch out a big American flag as we did on Independence Day earlier this season. And while they get that set up, I'll get you the starting lineups for NBO Sacramento. They'll be sending their leadoff man, Brett Griffiths, out there to lead things off playing shortstop, followed by Lance Sabaki at second base, Henry Palmer in center field, Duncan Hansen, the DH. Willie Kadem at first, Brad Morris, catcher, Drew Hansen in left, Forrest Kistner in right, and Dylan Dre at third. For the next rendition, it will be Scott Lewis singing our nation's anthem, as now they have all the players organized, getting ready to stretch up the American flag as we begin with our nation's anthem. Again, the final game of the 2024 season. Colt 45 is looking to extend their winning streak to 19 games and get their 35th win of the year. Facing off against NBO Sacramento, Colt 45 will be sending their ace, Eric Winchester, out there on the hill. The tall righty standing at 6'4". Has a 2.30 ERA. He's 6-0 on the season, looking for his seventh win in this 2024 summer season. As we now almost have the flag ready to unfold, as Scott Lewis will be singing his last national anthem of this season. He's done a great job all season long for the Colt 45s, singing the national anthem on a consistent basis. And after tonight's final national anthem for the season. We will get the Colt 45 starting lineups as well, and I'll get you some offensive numbers from this series for each of the starting players in the lineup tonight. And while we have this pause here, I'd like to thank all my listeners who have tuned in off and on all season long, or consistently tuned in as well. I know a lot of families are listening of the Colt 45. Now the Flyers have begun to unravel United States flag. And we will set to get things started here. We will keep it on air as we typically do. Takes up about half of diamond, stretching a little bit of the pitcher's mound all the way down to home plate, stretching from in between first base and third base. They are now still getting organized a little bit, and the full crowd here at Tiger Field with still more fans pouring in. Should be a fun night at the ballpark, and a very cool night at the ballpark as the game time temperature is around 85 degrees, which is much cooler than it's been all season long. Now the flag is unraveled as the fans applaud the efforts here, making sure to not let the flag touch the ground out of respect for our nation. Now Scott Lewis will begin things here of our nation's anthem. Time this season, that was Scott Lewis with tonight's edition of our Central Banner as they wrap up the flag. Set to get things started here at Tiger Field in Redding, California. NBO Sacramento taking on the Colt 45s. Eric Winchester facing off against Dan Acedo. And to go back over the NBO Sacramento starting lineup, it's going to be Brett Griffiths at short, Lance Sabaki at second, Henry Palmer in center, Duncan Hansen, the DH, followed by Willie Tatum at first. Brad Morris will be back behind the dish. He caught the first game of this series. Now he'll be catching the third game, having the night off last night. Then it'll be Drew Hansen in left, Forrest Kistner in right, and Dylan Gray at third. For the Colt 45s, they'll be sending Eric Winchester out now to shut down this NBO offense and hopefully get their 19th win in a row, close out the season with their 35th win of the campaign. They'll be sending Steve Ella to lead things off and playing second base as he's done all season long. He'll be followed up in the lineup by Griffith Fenn. He's been the hottest hitter in this series. He's 6-for-9 with 3 walks and a home run in the last 2 games. Then McGuire Smith will be out there in left, followed by Kyle Norton playing first base and batting cleanup for the 3rd game in a row. Then Noah Betanko will be back in the lineup at the DH spot. He's 2-for-4. He was 2-for-4 in the first game with 2 walks and 6 RBIs. Carter Dorison will be doing the catching. He'll be behind the dish calling the balls and strikes for Mr. Eric Winchester out there on the hill. He went 2-for-2 in game 1 and walked 4 times. He'll be followed by Kiana Mizuta in right. He's walked and homered this series as well, followed by Sutter Moss, who's 4-for-7 in the series with a walk. He'll be at shortstop. And then Joel Calderon, who was flashing the leather last night, will be back out there at the hot corner. He's 2-for-5 in the series with a walk. So Vela at second, Finn in center, Smith in left, Norton at first, Betanko the DH, followed by Jorison, the catcher, Mizuta in right, Moss at short, and Calderon at third, face off against the MBO Sacramento Ball Club. Nicole 45 have begun their defensive warm-ups. So you get ready to take the field. Eric Winchester is concluding his warm-up tosses out there in the bullpen. Again, the Colt 45 seems for their 35th win on the season. For Eric Winchester, he has a season high of 12 strikeouts. He's done it twice, on June 13th and July 13th against the Alameda Anchors, rather, in a 17-7 win, and then also against the Tehama Bowl Ball Club, where he went 6 innings. He struck out 12. In both of those outings, where he struck out 12, he also walked 3. So he has the command and he has the capabilities to get the punch out. We've seen it all season long. He has a total of 66 strikeouts on the year and only 13 walks in 43 innings of work. He's allowed 28 hits and he's 6-0 in 7 starts. As the Colt 45s are now gathered outside their dugout, they're getting ready to take the field here on this Saturday night edition of Colt 45s Baseball. The Colt 45s, Griffith Fenn will be batting second again tonight. Again, he's 6-for-9 in the series. He's walked 3 times and hit a home run. That solo shot came on the 25th in game 1 of the series. It was a triple short of the cycle and stayed that way even in his 5th at-bat in the 8th inning of that ball game, where he hit a double. He could have taken third, but Dusty Vela had to hold up third as the throw came into the cutoff man and held him up at third base. Dan Aceda will be opposing Eric Winchester, MBO Sacramento, looking to shut down this Colt 45 offense, who has put up a total of 30 runs in 2 games. They've only allowed 12 runs. They won the first game by a score of 22-9. Then they won the second game last night by a score of 7-3, in which their starting pitcher, Ty Cook, with 8 innings. He allowed 3 runs on 7 hits. He walked 2 and struck out 5. Then Trey Bennett got the ball for the 9th inning. For Noah Betanco on the season, he's had quite a year. Betanco is batting .455 and 55 at bats. He also has 25 RBI. He's walked 12 times. That's 1 home run. He'll be the designated hitter tonight and batting 5th behind Kyle Norton. For Kyle Norton, he's also had a fantastic year. He's batting .336 and 107 at bats. He has 23 RBIs. He's also walked 16 times. Sutter Moss rounding out tonight's lineup. He's batting 8th in front of Joel Calderon, the 9 hitter. Sutter Moss has walked 38 times. He leads the team in 3 passes, but also has 25 RBIs. He's batting .380. Joel Calderon, who splashed the leather a lot last night, will be batting 9th again tonight. He's batting .265. And at the bottom of the lineup, still producing well and is able to put the lineup over, where Dusty Vela has been able to get RBIs due to Calderon's plate discipline and ability to hit well. The catcher, Carter Jorison, out of Santa Margarita, California, in the first game of the series, he showed his immense plate discipline and walked 4 times before finally getting some pitches to hit. He was able to get a couple of hits in that game. He will be catching Mr. Eric Winchester tonight, as now the Colt 45s have taken the field. Shadows are covering parts of left field and part of the infield between the mound and the third baseline, and a bit of foul territory. Brett Griffiths for NBO Sacramento will be leading things off again and playing shortstop as Winch climbs up the back of the hill and begins his warm-up tosses, looking to settle in here and pound the strike zone and match or do better than his total of 12 on the year. He has that heater, his prime pitch, that is able to get him swing and misses and also strikeouts. Earlier in the season, I was the color commentator for Mr. Austin White, who after a couple of weeks was then commissioned to go into the Army, so he is serving in our country currently, and he's the one who helped train me, so I'd like to take a moment to thank my colleague Austin White, who helped lead the way for what exactly I do and really helped me hone my skills. And also David Wiley back in the studio, who's been our producer all season long. And of course, Carl and Linda Bott at KCNR, Shasta Redding. You can tune in anytime at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, or online at KCNR1460.com. Special thanks to them as well for this opportunity to bring you Colt 45's Baseball Live. It's been an honor and a privilege to do this. As Winchester is just about done with his warm-up tosses, he has a fastball slider arsenal, mixing those pitches exclusively. Typically goes fastball slider and then gets a swing and a miss with the fastball. It's a very fast heater, tops out about 92, but has some absolutely filthy horizontal movement and a little bit of vertical movement too. As Brett Griffiths will saunter up the plate, he'll step in from that right side, deep in the box, and steps into the box, ready to get this game started. The infield playing at most depth with the third baseman Calderon, and playing a couple steps back to the line at third. Now Winchester, loved by his belt, peering into Dorsen, who sets up low and in, and Winchester winds and fuels, fastball upstairs for ball one. First pitch comes in at 7:22 on this Saturday night from Tiger Field in Redding, California. Now Winch winds and deals the 1-0. It's fouled back to the screen. Evens up the count at 1-1. We're scoreless in this top of the first inning. It's a 1-1 count on the right end hitting Brett Griffiths, who is 3-for-8 in the series with a home run. Now Winchester gets a sign, kicks and deals the 1-1. Foul tipped into the glove of Jorison for strike two. 1-2. And Winchester's last outing, he went 6 innings. 4 innings, rather. The outing before that, he went 6. Winchester winds and deals. Swing and a miss. It's foul tipped into the glove. Held on by Jorison for the strikeout. And that's the way the ball game begins. There's one gone here in this top of the first. It's a scoreless ball game. I'm Jacob Green with KCNR Shasta Redding. It's great to have you with us on this Saturday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball. Now it'll be the second baseman, Lance Sabaki, stepping into the box, a right-hand hitter. With the Sox up high, takes a fastball on the outer half, a called strike one at the belt. No balls and one strike on NBO's second baseman as Winchester peering in to get a sign. Now kicks and deals again, the 0-1. Slider, this is just a bit low. Evens up the count at 1-1. Now Winchester peering in at Jorison. Jorison sits blowing in the 1-1. In the dirt, picked by Jorison. Count moves to 2-1. Winchester will go for a little walk with his socks up high. Colt 45's donning their yellow home jerseys with the black short sleeves underneath. Now the 2-1 delivery from Winchester. Fastball misses upstairs for ball three. 3-1. Winchester on the year has only walked 13 batters. His last two outings, he's walked 3. Now the 3-1 delivery, the right-hand hitting Sabaki misses low, and Sabaki works a walk. He'll take first base on the free pass. And Henry Palmer will come to the plate. Palmer last night was in center field. He went 3-for-5 with 3 singles. Right-hand hitter, wide stance, deep in the box. Slightly open, Kyle Norton holds on Palmer at first. Now Winchester comes set out of the stretch, first base out of the rubber, kicks and deals. Foul ball kicks away from Jorison. And he didn't foul it. The umpire calls he did not foul it. Jorison recovers the baseball, throws down to second where Baylor's on the bag, and Sabaki trying to reach second base is thrown out by Jorison. A great play by Carter Jorison, the backstop. The umpire initially looked like he called it foul. He raised his hands up in the air, but then said the ball was live as Henry Palmer did not make contact with it. So now it's an 0-1 count. Winchester now back pitching out of the windup. The 0-1 delivery is ground ball past the diving Calder in the third into left field for base hit. Over the field it is Smith. Rounding first, but holding there with a wide turn at first base is Palmer. So Winchester surrenders a base hit. And now Duncan Hansen will come to the plate. A right-hand hitter. Duncan Hansen played in game one. He was the catcher. In game two, rather, last night, he went 0-for-4 with three flyouts. So he can hit the ball in the air. Winchester comes set out of the stretch with the runner on. Delivers a fastball on the inner half at the knees called strike one. Palmer is being held on at first base by Kyle Norton. Two steps off the bag or so. Doesn't look like he's going. Now Winchester comes set. From the first base side, the 0-1 delivery runner not going. A swung on and missed for strike two. No balls and two strikes to the right-hand hitter. Duncan Hansen, who's the DH tonight. Now Winchester comes set. Runner at first. The 0-2 delivery with two outs. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Winchester says good morning, good afternoon, and good night. The side is retired as Winchester gets his second strikeout of the evening. We're scoreless after the top of the first inning. We're headed to the home half of the first. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cincy University. Cincy University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand that their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Cincy University, online at cincinu.edu.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, as Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Reading, California. NBO Sacramento. And Dan Acedo will be taking the field against Dusty Bela, Griffin Vent, and McGuire Smith as the Colts Fives get their first try at the right hand pitcher, Dan Acedo, who concludes his warm up tosses. Dusty Bela will be leading things off, batting left. He's 3-for-8 in the series and has 4 walks. The defense behind Dan Acedo is going to be Dylan Frey at third, Brett Griffiths at short, Lance Sabaki at second, and Willie Tatum over there at first. Brad Morris will be doing the catching as he did in game one, then left to right field will be Drew Hansen, Henry Palmer, and Forrest Kistner from left to right field. As now, Dusty Bela will walk to the plate and dig in from that left side, deep in the box, a slightly open stance. Dusty Bela on the year, batting 347. He's got 36 RBIs. First pitch swinging, pops this one toward the left field line, giving chase as a left fielder, shortstop, and third baseman. And none of them are going to get to it. It's out of play for a long strike one. The left fielder, Drew Hansen, along with Dylan Drey, the third baseman, and Brett Griffiths, the shortstop, all gave chase. They'll now make their way back to their respective positions. as Acedo comes set first base out of the rubber, kicks and deals the 0-1 to the left-hand hitting Vela. This one's grounded. Chopper toward the second baseman gloves and tosses on over to first for the 4-3 put out. The second baseman, Lance Sabatke, to the first baseman, Willie Tatum. Now Griffith Benn will come to the plate. He's 6-for-9 in the series with 3 walks and a home run. That solo shot came in game 1 of the series on the 25th of July, a couple of days ago. Steps into the box and even stance on the left side as Acedo lines and deals. Change up on the outside corner at the belt called strike 1. Griffith Fenn is playing center field tonight, as he has the previous 2 games as well. He was playing right field to start the season. The 0-1 delivery misses upstairs to even up the count at 1-1, but has now since shifted on over to center field. Delivery is fouled back to the screen. Make the count 1-2. 1-2 with 1 out. The infield playing at normal depth. Shifted a little bit back. Now Acedo comes set. Kicks and delivers. Swing! And a miss by Fenn. Ball in the dirt. Got him to chase. And Griffith Fenn is down on strikes as the catcher Brad Morris was able to pick it and keep it off the dirt. He holds on to strike 3. That is out number 2 of this scoreless ball game. It's the bottom of the first with 2 gone now for the left-hand hitting McGuire Smith, who's playing left field tonight, as he's been doing all season. He has also played some time at first base. Acedo winds and deals first pitch fastball on the inside corner called strike 1. The ball is in 1 on the Colt 45's left fielder. Acedo gets a sign now, winds and deals. McGuire Smith swings at this one, and it's going to drop in front of the center fielder Palmer for a base hit. McGuire Smith has himself a single, his second hit of the series. And now Kyle Norton will step to the plate. Tonight's cleanup hitter as Hank the Bat Boy gets some applause from the near capacity crowd here at Tiger Field. Now the cleanup man will step into the box. Another left-hand hitter. He's 2-for-9 in the series and has 2 sacrifice flies. First pitch out of the stretch from Acedo is going to go off the catcher. Goes back toward the away on deck circle and taking second base easily on the pass ball is McGuire Smith. Now Kyle Norton checks back into the box with a 1-0 count now. Betanco's on deck. McGuire Smith now in scoring position. The 1-0 delivery from Acedo out of the stretch. Fastball misses up and away for ball 2. 2 balls and no strikes on the cleanup hitter, tonight's first baseman. Acedo checks the runner back at second. Now kicks and deals the 2-0. This one's hit in the air toward left center. Center fielder giving chase should be playable. He'll squeeze it on the run a few feet from the track for out number 3. So the Colt 45s threaten, but they do not score. They lead 1. We're scoreless after 1 headed to the top of the second inning. Tonight's Colt 45's baseball game is brought to you by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand that their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's going to be the right-hand hitting Willie Tatum facing off against Eric Winchester. Winchester's got the windup. Winds and deals a fastball. Swing and a miss from the right-hand hitting Tatum for strike one. The top of the second in this close ball game, Winchester with the Sox up high, winds and deals the 0-1, a fastball in the inner half, called strike two right at the belt. Now Winchester working quick, gets a sign from Jorison. The 0-2 delivery with nobody out in the top of the second, misses upstairs for ball one. One ball and two strikes now on Indio Sacramento's first baseman, Tatum, last night. Had a solid night's plate, but 1-2 delivery misses low, keeping up the count at two balls and two strikes. He walked four times and had two stolen bases as well as a single. He was 1-for-1 with four walks and two stolen bases. 2-2 delivery from Winchester is a ground ball up the middle and past the mound, over the mound, kicked right between Vela and Sutter Moss converging on it. They couldn't quite get to it. It's a base hit for Willie Tatum. He wins the battle against Winchester, and the leadoff man is aboard. The Colt 45 will move the infield to double play depth. Eric Winchester, the 6'4 right-hander out of Simpson University, tonight's sponsor of the game. He concluded his senior year there this past spring. The top of the second, runner at first, that's Tatum. He had two stolen bases last night as Winchester delivers out of the windup a fastball on the inside corner. Called strike one on the catcher, Brad Morris. Brad Morris was the catcher on the 25th, the first game of the series. Winchester checks Tatum back at first. The 0-1 delivery is a slider. Hit foul out of play for strike two. And in that game, Brad Morris went 2-for-5. He struck out twice. Steps back into the box now. Open stance for the right-hand hitter. Winchester, glove at the belt, comes set. Brings it up to his shoulders. The 0-2 delivery with Tatum on first in the infield of double play depth is swung on and missed. Ball in the dirt. Jorison holds on to it. Able to pick it right off the dirt. And Brad Morris is down swinging for out number one. And strikeout number three for Eric Winchester. Now the left-hand hitting Drew Hansen will come to the plate, the left fielder tonight, with one out in this top of the second. Runner at first, that's Tatum. Colt 45 just need a ground ball to get the double play and be out of this inning as Winchester delivers a fastball in the outside corner for strike one. No balls and one for strike as Winchester gets a sign. Jorison sets up away. A pickoff into first is not in time. Back quickly is Willie Tatum. Again, Willie Tatum had two stolen bases last night, so they want to keep him close here as he's being held on by the first baseman, Norton. Winchester, glove up by his shoulders, comes set. The 0-1 delivery from the first base out of the rubber. Check swing. Field to first. They say yes, he went around. That's strike two. On the left-hand hitting, Drew Hansen, the left fielder for NBO Sacramento tonight. Now Winchester comes set again. The 0-2 delivery with one out and a runner on. Winds and deals, swing and a miss. Strike three. That's strikeout number four for Eric Winchester, and he gets Drew Hansen to swing and miss at the heater. He reared back for that one, blew some high octane right by him for strike three. Hansen not able to keep up to it as the right hand hitting Forrest Kistner now comes to the plate. The right fielder tonight takes a fastball inside. For ball one. One ball and no strikes. As Kistner taps the plate with his bat, now waves it back and forth as Winchester comes set. Still working out the stretch with Tatum at first. The 1-0 delivery is a fastball at the knees on the outside corner. One ball and one strike. the infield still has Sutter Moss, the shortstop, shaded up the middle just a bit. Case the ground ball to second, where they can get the force at second base with Tatum on first. A 1-1 delivery from Winchester. A fastball in the inside corner called strike two. Kistner. And the first game of the series was 1-for-4 with a single. Now Winchester comes set. The 1-2 delivery with Tatum on first and two outs. Misses just a bit high for ball two. Winchester pounding the strike zone with the fastball. Didn't quite get that call because that pitch didn't quite catch the top of the zone. Two balls and two strikes with two outs. Winchester comes set, kicks and deals. Foul tip off the plate and goes foul toward the away on deck circle. Still two balls and two strikes. Winchester will get a new baseball now. Climbs back up the hill. Now peers in it. Carter Jordan, his catcher, to get his sign. Winchester shakes him off. Now agrees with him. Comes set. The 2-2 delivery to the right-hand hitting Kistner. Winchester delivers. It's fouled back to the screen. On the count remains two balls and two strikes. And this now 7-pitch battle. Winchester again gets a new baseball. Rubs it up a little bit. Now the glove tucked by his front leg at the belt. Ball dangling behind him off his back leg. Tatum being held on by Norton at first. Winchester glove up by his shoulder. Now comes set. First base side of the rubber. The 2-2 delivery to the right hand hitting Kistner is fouled back over the screen toward the parking lot. And the count remains two balls and two strikes as Winchester goes for a little walk and prepares now to deliver the 8th pitch of this at bat as Forrest Kistner is battling, trying to get another hit for Indio Sacramento and hopefully scratch across a run. It's a scoreless ball game in the top of the second. The 2-2 delivery from Eric Winchester as Tatum takes his lead at first is a ground ball toward the shortstop. Calderon charges over to his left and throws the first in time for the 5-3 put out. And the side is retired. Yet again, Indio Sacramento strands one. They do not score. We're scoreless after 1.5, headed to the home half of the second inning. Tonight's game is sponsored by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tagger Field in Redding, California. The bottom of the second. Noah Betanco will step up to the plate and get his first try at Dan Acedo, the tall right-hander, pitching off the first base side of the rubber for Indio Sacramento. Shadows have now started to cover most of the field here and everywhere but right. There's a few sunspots out in center as well, but the sun is gleaning off of the right fielder's sunglasses. Noah Betanco, the DH tonight, right-hand hitter, steps to the plate, does his signature check swing motion toward the pitcher as DeSado comes set, winds and deals. First pitch, fastball off the plate outside for ball one. Noah Betanco in the first game of this series went 2-for-4. He had 2 walks and 6 RBIs, a wide-open stance for the right-hand hitter as he swings and misses the ball away. Acedo got him to chase that pitch. Now it's a 1-1 count with nobody out in this bottom of the second inning. Acedo gets a sign, comes set. Now delivers the 1-1 pitch. Fastball is going to go off the elbow of Betanco where he has some protective gear. He will take first base on a 390 feet. Here a fastball came in toward his elbow. He wasn't quite able to turn away from it, and it thankfully went off of the elbow pad that he has on. This is a shin guard on, but that one got him on the elbow. As now Carter Jorison will come to the plate. The catcher tonight for Eric Winchester. Right-hand hitter. He caught the first game of this series where he went 2-for-2 and walked four times in the 23-9 win. A barn burner, as they call it in hockey. This, the bottom of the second, scoreless ball game. Betanco takes his lead at first, is being held on by the first baseman, Willie Tatum. Jorison steps into the box. The kid from Santa Margarita, California. He was Brandon Bowler's battery mate in game one of the series. A wide open stance for the right-hand hitter as he takes a fastball on the outside corner called strike one. So he'll be catching game one and game three of the series. He's teammates with Brandon Bowler at Palomar Junior College. One of the many pairs of teammates we have on this team. As Betanco not running. This one's hit in the air toward right. The right fielder chasing. Should be playable. They'll squeeze it on the run just in front of the track and toss it back in for out number one. That will hold Betanco at first. Carter Jorison, one of a few teammates on the team. The other set of teammates would be Brandon Zanny and Eric Winchester, both out of Ascension University. Now Keanu Mizuta will come to the plate. Out of Redding, California, and Oregon Tech. He's 4-for-9 in the series. He has a walk and a home run. Switch hitter batting left. Betanco dancing off the bag at first as Mizuta takes outside for ball one. One ball and no strikes again. Mizuta has a home run and a walk. He's 4-for-9 in the series. Steps back into the box. Left-hand hitter, even stance, deep in the box. Betanco not running on the play. Trying to deep the pitcher to throw over. As Acedo delivers a fastball on the outside corner. One ball and one strike with one gone in this bottom of the second. Now Acedo out of the stretch. First base side comes set. Betanco running. The throw from the catcher Morris is in time. And Noah Betanco is caught stealing. Couldn't quite get there in time or avoid the tag as he slid in. A great throw from the catcher Brad Morris was on the money. In order to get Betanco, he had to throw it right on that right field side of the second base bag. Now the 1-2 delivery is on the outside corner. Strike three called. Mizuta did not believe it. Shakes his head in disbelief as he'll saunter back to the dugout. He's down on strikes. And that's the way the inning ends. The Colt 45s threaten, but they do not score. We're scoreless after two, headed to the top of the third. Tonight's game is sponsored by Clemson University. Clemson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions and individuals who understand that their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Clemson University, online at clemsonu.edu.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's the nine-hitter facing off against Eric Winchester in this top of the third. He swings and misses it. A fastball for strike one. It's Dylan Dre in this top of the third inning. It's a scoreless ball game. Eric Winchester winds and deals a fastball. Misses upstairs. Even up the count at one ball and one strike. Colt 45s had the leadoff man aboard last inning, but could not score him after Betanco was caught stealing. The 1-1 delivery from Winchester swung on a miss for strike two. Eric Winchester already showing off that heater in the high octane. As Dylan Dre with a wide open stance on the right side, the old school stirrups, fouls this one out of play over the first base dugout. The count remains one ball and two strikes. Eric Winchester will get a new baseball now. One ball, two strikes, nobody out. We're scoreless in the top of the third. Now Winchester kicks and deals the 1-2. Fouled off the plate. Almost stayed fair, but then ended up going foul up the third baseline. And the count remains one ball and two strikes. Calderon came charging in from third, and Winchester also coming off the mound. Charged it toward foul territory, but was not able to corral it in time. And now Dre will look down at his third base coach, Kim Davison. Get his sign. Now steps back into the box. The 1-2 delivery from Winchester is a fastball fouled off again over the screen and toward the parking lot. The count remains one ball and two strikes in this now six-pitch battle. Winchester shakes off his catcher, Joris, and now agrees. The 1-2 delivery. It's a slider just off the plate outside. Two balls and two strikes. Winchester thought he got the call, but did not quite catch the corner. It was at the knees, but not quite able to paint the black on that one. Now, the 2-2 delivery from the 6-4 right-hander out of Diamond Bar, California. Swung on and missed by Dre for strikeout number 5. And through 2 1/3, Eric Winchester now facing the top of the order again. It'll be his second time through the lineup. He has 5 strikeouts on the evening. All 5 have been swinging. Now Brett Griffiths in this top of the third inning, playing shortstop tonight. Winchester winds and deals a fastball on the inner half called strike one. Brett Griffiths, right-hand hitter. Infield at normal depth with Calderon playing a couple steps behind the bag. The 0-1 delivery misses away. One ball and one strike. The lights have come on here at Tagger Field. The sun starting its descension on a way cooler night than we've had in a month or so as Griffiths fouls this one back toward the parking lot for strike two. One ball and two strikes. It's much cooler as we had games in the hundreds previously this season. Even last night, first pitch, it was over 100 degrees. Now a 1-2 count on the right-hand hitting Griffiths. Winchester gets a sign, winds and deals. A fastball in the dirt blocked by Drew Morrison. Two balls and two strikes. Two balls, two strikes with one out after Dre struck out. On deck is Lance Sabaki, who walked his first time up. Now Winchester gets a sign. Jorison says blown in. The 2-2 pitch is popped up toward the first base coach's box. Norton will drift over there and get under it before squeezing it for out number two. An easy out there. A routine pop-up for Kyle Norton. And now Lance Sabaki will come to the plate. He walked and then was caught stealing his first time up. Rocking the old-school stirrups. Old-school stirrup-style socks, rather. They're up high as he grounds this one right towards Vela at second, who gobbles it up and flicks it on over to first base in time for a 4-3 putout. And NBO Sacramento goes 1-2-3. We're headed to the bottom of the third. Tonight's Colt 45's baseball game is brought to you by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand that their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Reading, California. It's Sutter Moss up to the plate. It's the bottom of the third. It's a scoreless ball game in front of what seems to be just about a capacity crowd here at Tiger Field in Reading, California. I'm Jacob Green, bringing you live Colt 45's baseball. It's great to have you with us. As Acedo, the righty, winds and deals. First pitch swinging from Moss, grounds it right toward Tatum at first. A foot race to the bag. And the pitcher, Acedo, gets the toss just in time. Put his foot on the bag after Willie Tatum underhand tossed it to him. He beat Sutter Moss to the bag in the foot race. And Moss is retired. First pitch swing. And now Joel Calderon will come to the plate. Playing third base tonight. He's 2-for-5 in the series with a walk. Right-hand hitter. Wide open stance. As Acedo winds and delivers a fastball. Check swing by Calderon. Called a strike as it was on the inner half at the belt. The ball is in one strike with one out. The infield playing back. Acedo winds and deals the 0-1. Misses way outside. Goes all the way back to the screen. The catcher Morris not able to grab it. One ball, one strike. On the right-hand hitting Calderon, who waves the bat back and forth. Now ready as Acedo kicks and deals the 1-1 out of the windup. Check swing again, ball in the dirt. Calderon did not go around. Two balls and one strike. Calderon working the count. Vela, the top of the order, he's on deck. The 2-1 delivery from Acedo is hit in the air towards center. Center fielder giving chase. Over his shoulder, will squeeze it for out number two. Calderon gives it a ride to the deepest part of the ballpark, but the center fielder, Henry Palmer, able to squeeze it on the run, making a great over-the-shoulder catch for out number two. And after Betanco's single, Dan Acedo has really settled in here, retiring the next four facing now the top of the order. As Dusty Vela will come to the plate, he grounded out his first time up. Acedo winds up and deals to the left hand hitting Vela. Fastball misses up for ball one. One ball and no strikes with two outs in this scoreless ball game. It's the bottom of the third. Vela ready now as Acedo winds and delivers. Swing and a miss. Got him to chase a breaking ball down low to even the count at one ball and one strike. Now Vela waves the wood. Even stance from the left side. Morris sets up in. Acedo winds and delivers a fastball hit in the air towards center. Palmer giving chase toward the left center gap. In front of the 370 mark, it's playable, and he'll camp under it and squeeze it for out number three. So the Colt 45s go 1-2-3. We're scoreless after three, headed to the fourth inning. Tonight's Colt 45 baseball game is brought to you by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions and individuals who understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
Years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tagger Field in Redding, California. It's Kennedy Palmer, the center fielder up to the plate. He singled his last time up as Winchester winds and delivers a breaking ball in the dirt blocked by Dorison. That's ball one. One ball and no strikes. You're listening to KCNR, Shasta, Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. We're online at KCNR1460.com. I'm Jacob Green. We've got David Wiley back in the studio. It's great to have you with us as Palmer pops this one up on the infield. Norton standing on first base will squeeze it for out number one, and the leadoff man is retired. That's where Palmer pops out to Mr. Kyle Norton over there at first base. Now Duncan Hansen will come to the plate. Tonight's backstop. Tonight's designated hitter, rather. He was the backstop last night. He takes a fastball off the plate outside for ball one. One ball and no strikes to the DH. Now Winchester winds and deals a 1-0 swing and a miss. One ball and one strike now. The righty Hansen with a close stance from the right side. Winchester winds and deals a 1-1 delivery, misses outside for ball two. Two balls and one strike. Duncan Hansen was the catcher last night. He went 0 for 4. Out of pitch from Winchester, fouled back to the screen to even up the count at two balls and two strikes. Now Winchester with the baseball back. Glove the belt, kicks and deals the 2-2 pitch with one out. Comes hit in the air toward left. Smith giving chase, should be playable to the track at the wall. Kicks off the wall, it's over his head, and cruising into second base with a stand-up double as it kicks away into left center field. Duncan Hansen has himself a double. McGuire Smith was giving chase to that ball in front of the Jack's Grill sign and the Holiday Market sign out there. Reached up with the glove, and it went over it, off the wall, caromed all the way back into left center field where Griffith Benn was, where he played it back in to the cutoff man, Sutter Moss, to hold Duncan Hansen at second base with a stand-up double. Now Willie Tatum to the plate, right-hand hitter, open stance, standing at about 6'4". He's got some pop. He takes a fastball on the outer half at the belt called strike one. Great pitch there from Winchester. The infield has shifted Tatum, the right-hand hitter, to pull. Just a couple of steps toward the third baseline. Now Winchester comes set first base out of the rubber. Checks the runner back. The 0-1 delivery with one out. Check swing. Called a strike on the outside corner. Now the count. No balls and two strikes. Winchester gets a sign from Jorison. Duncan Hansen at second base. He doubled. There's one out here in this top of the fourth. Now Winchester gets a sign. The 0-2 delivery to the right-hand hitting Tatum. Slider misses up. One ball and two strikes now. Winchester searching for his sixth strikeout. All five have been swinging. Right in hitting Tatum readies as Winchester comes set first base side of the rubber. The 1-2 delivery from Eric Winchester in the dirt blocked by Jorison. Quickly pounces on it as it kicked away up the third baseline. They check down to first for the appeal as Tatum checks swung on it. Holding at second base was Duncan Hansen as the ball did not kick away nearly far enough, especially given Jorison's ability to throw runners out. And now the count at two balls and two strikes. Tatum will step out of the box, go for a little walk, now steps back in, taps the plate with his bat, waves it back and forth at Winchester as Winchester peers in at Jorison to get his sign. First base side of the rubber. Now Winchester comes set. Jorison sets up low and away. The 2-2 delivery with one out and the runner at second. Fastball misses low. Three balls and two strikes. Winchester having to pitch out of the stretch with the runner on in the infield. Playing at normal depth, but Calder in the third baseman and Moss, the shortstop, shifted a couple of steps toward third. Vela playing just to the right of the second base bag on the limited outfield grass. The 2-2 delivery with one out is a ball in the dirt, blocked by Jorson, the catcher, to hold the runner at second, and Tatum works a walk. Now it's runners at first and second after Eric Winchester issues his second free pass of the evening. He's allowed two walks. Brad Morris, the catcher, will come to the plate, a right-hand hitter. Runners at first and second as the Colt 45s search for two on the infield. They play the infield at double play depth. Huge hitting room on the right side between Norton and Vela. Now the delivery from Winchester is swung on and missed for strike one. No balls and one strike. With one out as Brad Morris with a wide open stance. Winchester checks the runners back at first and second. The infield playing behind them with one out. Foul back to the screen for strike two. No balls and two strikes. Winchester will get a new baseball and go for a little walk. And rub up a new baseball as he climbs back up the hill. Now peering at Jorson, his catcher. Comes set first base out of the rubber. Checks the runners back at first and second. The 0-2 delivery with one out to the right hand hitting Morris. Fastball grounded, just foul. Wide of the bag at third. Still no balls and two strikes as Winchester climbs back up the front slope of the mound. Looking to get either a ground ball or a strikeout here to get out number two or possibly a double play. Winchester gets his sign, comes set again. The 0-2 delivery with one out is just a bit inside. Didn't quite catch the inside corner there. Count moves to one ball and two strikes. Still with one out. The outfield playing straight up except for Griffith Finn in center. He's a few steps toward right center. Now a 1-2 count on the right-hand hitting Brad Morris. The runners at first and second. The 1-2 delivery from Winchester is just a bit low. Drew a check swing from Morris, but he didn't go around. And the fastball missed just a bit below the knee. And Morris now works the count 2-2. Two balls and two strikes. Hanson at second. Tatum at first. After the double and the walk, there's one out in this top of the fourth inning in a scoreless ballgame. The 2-2 delivery from Winchester is fouled out of play. Back over the first base dugout. The count remains two balls and two strikes. Now Winchester coming set to deliver the seventh pitch of this at-bat after multiple foul balls from Brad Morris, the right-hand hitter. With a wide-open stance, Winchester gets a sign. Comes set again. Checks the runners back at first and second. The 2-2 delivery with one out. It's in the dirt, blocked by Jorson, kicks away from him. The throw down to third is over the head of Calderon, who leaps for it, knocks it down, but it trickles into left field where Sutter Moss is backing up the play, and both runners will advance on the passed ball from Jorson. Ball was in the dirt. Jorson glided to his left to keep it from going away. But it ended up caroming off of his chest and up the third baseline. Now a full count on Brad Morris. Runners at second and third. There's two runners in scoring position. Winchester winds and deals a 3-2. Is a fastball. This is just a bit up. That will load the bases. As now the second walk of the inning is issued. And Bob Anderson will come out to the mound to have a little talk with his pitcher, Eric Winchester. The bases are loaded. And in this scoreless ballgame, it's the top of the fourth. Eric Winchester just needs a ground ball to get out of the jam. There's three runners on after the double, and then the two walks have loaded the bases. There's one gone. All the Colt 45s need here is a ground ball to turn two on the infield. But again, there's a force at every base, so they likely will not bring the infield in. They might draw the corners in, first and third baseman of Calderon and Norton. But they will have Sutter Moss and Dusty Vela at shortstop and second base playing up the middle to look for two on the infield and retire the side. Hopefully escape the inning unscathed as Drew Hanson, the left fielder, will come to the plate. He struck out swinging his first time up. He saw three pitches and all three were strikes. Now Eric Winchester, Bob Anderson has made his way back to the dugout. Comes set, peers in at Jorson, the catcher, the corners, even with the bags at first and third. Runners take their leads. The delivery from Winchester misses low and away for ball one. On the left-hand hitting, Drew Hanson. There's one out. It's top of the fourth. It's a scoreless ball game, but NBO Sacramento is threatening here. Calderon and Norton at first and third, playing on the rim of the infield grass. The 1-0 delivery from Winchester. Swing and a miss for strike one. Blew a fastball by Hansen. Took a huge rip at it. Could not make contact. Now one ball and one strike. Winchester has that heater. Old reliable for him. One ball, one strike with one out. Winchester comes set. 1-1 delivery is grounded foul toward the on-deck circle for strike two. One ball and two strikes. Winchester with the fastball breaking ball arsenal. Looking to get a punch out or a ground ball here. One ball, two strikes with one out. Left hand hitting Hansen. As Winchester comes set, first base out of the rubber, the 1-2 delivery. Fastball misses upstairs. Two balls and two strikes. I would expect Winchester to go back to the breaking ball here. Try and draw Hansen to swing and miss, or blow a heater by him again and get a swing and a miss. He'll be pitching low in the zone trying to get a ground ball. Now the 2-2 delivery as Jorison sets up low and away. He's hit in the air towards center. Finn giving chase. Should be playable. He will not get it. It's going to go all the way to the wall. One run will score. Around third is Tatum. And around third is Morris coming in to score. And into third with a triple is Drew Hansen. NBO Sacramento puts three on the board with a bases clearing triple from Drew Hansen. And suddenly, it's a 3-0 ball game. NBO Sacramento with a 3-run lead. Drew Hansen drove that ball to the deepest part of the ballpark. Griffith Fenn was playing straight up in center field in front of the 406 sign. It landed just to the right of the flagpole out there. Again, the deepest part of the ballpark. Anywhere else, that would have been over the wall. Now runner at third. The right end hitting. Forrest Kistner takes a called strike one on the inside corner. A three-bagger from Drew Hansen scores three. Now the 0-1 delivery with a runner at third, the infield back to normal depth. Swing and a miss for strike two. Kistner fooled on the breaking ball, was in the dirt. Torsen able to corral it. No balls and two strikes. The right hand hitting Kistner. He grounded out his first time up. An even stance deep in the box. Jorison gives Winchester a sign. Now the 0-2 delivery. Fastball swing and a miss. Winchester bounces back. It's his 6K of the evening. That's out number two. With the runner at third, there's no activity up in the Cole 45 bullpen. Bob Anderson is trusting Winchester to get out of this inning. Hopefully keeping the runner stranded at third. Now there's two outs for the nine hitter, the third baseman Dylan Dre. He struck out swinging his first time up. Right hand hitter, open stance with the old school stirrups as Winchester comes set. Now delivers a fastball, is fouled back to the screen for strike one. NBO Sacramento has not been able to catch up to that fastball all night long, except for that triple by Drew Hansen. Now Winchester comes set. The 0-1 delivery is fouled back again over the screen toward the parking lot for strike two. No balls and two strikes with two gone. It's a 3-0 ball game after the bases clearing triple from Drew Hansen, NBO Sacramento's left fielder. Now with an 0-2 count, Winchester comes set. Now winds and deals the 0-2 pitch. Popped up toward right field. And Norton will go out, drift under it, and squeeze it for out number three. Winchester surrenders three runs, but escapes the inning with minimal damage. It's 3-0 after 3.5. Tonight's game is sponsored by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu. 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tagger Field. Griffin Finn, first pitch swing, grounded. That one right to Tatum, who took it himself for out number one. And now McGuire Smith will come to the plate. Colt 45 is now in a 3-0 deficit as Dan Acedo winds and deals to the left-hand hitting McGuire Smith. A fastball on the inner half for strike one. It was a bases-clearing triple that did the damage to the Colt 45s as Indio Sacramento now has a 3-0 lead in this bottom of the fourth. The righty Acedo winds and deals the 0-1. It's grounded towards the second baseman who gloves and throws to first in time for the putout. And McGuire Smith out on the 4-3 putout will be out number two. Quickly two away here in this bottom of the fourth as Kyle Norton will now come to the plate. He flew out to center field his first time up. He'll step in the box, left-hand hitter. And even stance, tonight's first baseman. He had a couple of nice plays last night as Sato winds and deals. Showing bunt up the third baseline. Third baseman charges, gloves, throws the first, not in time. Just past the first baseman, but Norton will remain at first on the bunt single. A great idea there from Kyle Norton with the third baseman, Dylan Dre, playing back at third. He had to come all the way in from 4 or 5 steps behind the third base bag. Where the bunt was, it was about 2 feet off the line at third and just past the pitcher's mound. He was not able to make the throw in time. And now Norton will be at first as Brandon Zanny is going to pinch hit for Noah Betanco in this fourth inning. He'll take over the DH responsibilities. Right-hand hitter, slightly open stance as Norton takes his lead, being held on by Tatum. And Zanny takes outside for ball one. One ball and no strikes. With two outs in this bottom of the fourth inning, it's a 3-0 ball game, NBO on top. Norton not running as Zanny takes another pitch low in the dirt for ball two. Zanny on the year has been one of the hitters that walks a lot. Between him, Sutter Moss, and Griffin Fenn, the 2-0 delivery misses high, goes all the way back to the screen, past the catcher Morris, and taking second base easily on the pass ball is Norton. On the wild pitch, rather, not scored a pass ball as the catcher was unable to corral it. It was above his head. He had to come out of the crouch to even get the tip of his glove on it. Now 3 balls and no strikes on the right end hitting Zanny. Norton at second base in scoring position. The 3-0 delivery from the righty Acedo. A fastball on the inside corner called strike one. Zanny started making his way towards first, thought he had a walk. But he's called back. Now he'll step back in the box on the right side. 3 balls and 1 strike. Acedo comes set, first base out of the rubber. The 3-1 delivery is a fastball. In on the shoulders of Zanny, turning away from it. And he will take first base with a walk. Now the tying run will come to the plate, and Carter Jorison, runners on first and second. Jorison on the year is been one of the better hitters for the Colt 45s. He's batting .395. He's got 43 at-bats on the year. First pitch swinging, hits this one toward the right center field gap. Coming in to score around third is Norton. And cruising into third is Danny. Staying at first is Carter Torreson. And he has himself an RBI single. So Norton was able to come around to score. Zanny hustled into third on the play. Jorison, first pitch swinging, has an RBI. Now it's a 3-1 ball game. A great hit there from Jorison. They'll get a courtesy runner and Mason Cassingham out there at first. He hit it right on the screws toward the 370 mark out there in right center field. End up getting cut off by the center fielder for NBO, Henry Palmer, before he relayed it back in. It kicked away from the cutoff man, but Zanny not quite able to take home. It didn't kick away far enough. Now, switch hitter batting left, Gianna Mizuta will come to the plate. Takes a first pitch fastball at the belt on the outer half, a called strike one. No balls and one strike to the right fielder. He's 4-for-9 in the series. He struck out earlier tonight. Now, Cassingham running. This one's fouled back toward the crowd for strike two. No balls and two strikes. Mizuta does have a home run in the series. He homered last night. Steps back into the box. Now readies. Batter calls timeout. Mizuta hit a home run in the third inning of last night's contest. Of the first game of the series contest, rather. And the 23-9 win. Now the 0-2 delivery. Cassingham running. Fastball on the outside corner. And the two-out rally ends as Mizuta strikes out looking for the second time tonight. It was that fastball on the outside corner at the belt yet again. It's been his kryptonite. And both runners are stranded. It's 3-1 after four, right into the top of the fifth. Tonight's Colt 45's baseball game is brought to you by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
Years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu. 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. The leadoff man, Brett Griffiths, taking a called strike one on the outside corners. Winchester winds and deals again, misses low and outside. One ball and one strike now. With nobody out, the top of the fifth inning in this 3-1 ball game. Last inning for NBO, they had a base clearing triple that resulted in their 3-run lead before the Colt 45s got one back. And a round ball right toward the third baseman, Calderon, who fields it and throws to first in time from the 5-3 put out. Joel Calderon has really settled in there at third base for this series. He had a couple of miscues earlier this season at the hot corner, but last night and game one of the series has been flashing the leather. Right there, making that hot shot right at him, right at the hot corner, making it look routine. A great play there by Calderon. And now, pinch hitter Davis Brawley will come to the plate, a right-hand hitter. He'll step into the box, facing off against Eric Winchester. Nobody on infield at normal depth. Winchester winds and deals a fastball upstairs for ball one. Davis Grawley started the game last night before he was pinch hit for in the ninth. He went 1-for-3 and reached on the fielder's choice. He hits a line shot back of first base. Norton leaping into the air will catch it in the webbing of his glove for out number two. A great play by Kyle Norton, the first baseman. It's a line shot cutting away from him toward the right field foul line. He reached over his shoulder running back and caught it on the backhand with his right hand. Now Henry Palmer will come to the plate. First pitch fastball catches the elbow of him and he'll take first base on the hit by pitch. A absolutely sensational play from Kyle Norton, who's also been flashing the leather over there at first base. First baseman, as a former third baseman myself, I do believe they're a little bit underappreciated. Usually the best glove on the infield. He's made a couple of run-saving plays at first base, picking balls in the dirt and such. Now, two gone as the right-hand hitting Duncan Hanson swings and misses the first pitch he sees. Fastball on the outer half, not able to catch up to it. No balls and one strike. Runner at first being held on by Kyle Norton. Manchester comes set out of the stretch, lines and deals, and Hanson fouls this one back over the screen for strike two. No balls and two strikes. With two gone here, it's the top of the fifth and a 3-1 ball game. The infield playing the right end, hitting Hanson to pole. The 0-2 delivery with two outs from the right hand throwing Winchester misses high. One ball and two strikes. Jorison now gives Winchester the sign. Winchester pitching out of the stretch. Palmer on base at first. He's got speed. So he is an outfielder and this one's fouled back again. Hanson stays battling, fighting off that pitch. One ball and two strikes. Still, Henry Palmer in center field tonight. He singled his last time up. We saw the speed there in his hard 90. The 1-2 delivery to the right-hand hitting Hanson. It's way down and swung on and missed. Hanson goes down on strikes. Winchester completely fooled him there. Hanson was way out in front. He was looking for a breaking ball and ended up seeing the heater. That is out number three, and the runner is stranded at first. NBO Sacramento threatens, but they do not score. We're over halfway through our ballgame here at Tagger Field in Redding, California. 3-1. Right into the bottom of the fifth. Tonight's Colt 45's baseball game is brought to you by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of playful champions, individuals who understand that their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University online at simpsonu.edu.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu. 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. The 0-2 count on Sutter Moss as he took both pitches for strikes on the outside corner. Bob Anderson just got a warning after he verbally disagreed with the home plate umpire from the third base dugout on that second pitch that came in. According to the home plate umpire, it caught the corner, but according to Bob Anderson, he disagreed as he gets the warning from the home plate umpire. Now it's an 0-2 count on the left-hand hitting Sutter Moss, tonight's shortstop. Wide open stance from that left side as Acedo, first base out of the rubber, winds and deals the 0-2, misses high and outside. One ball and two strikes now on Sutter Moss, the left-hand hitter. Nobody out. Infield playing at normal depth. The 1-2 delivery from the righty Acedo misses in the dirt. Two balls and two strikes. Was way low and inside on Sutter Moss. Sutter Moss is 0-1. He grounded out his last time up. First pitch swinging. Now the 2-2 delivery. The breaking ball waved at and pokes it foul over the third base dugout to keep the count at two balls and two strikes. Two balls, two strikes to the Colt 45 shortstop. Now the delivery is fouled back to the screen. Two balls and two strikes on Sutter Moss as Acedo gets to do baseball. Here's another sketcher. Morris now comes set. The 2-2 delivery out of the windup with nobody out in this bottom of the fifth, and a 3-1 ball game is taken in the dirt for ball three. Three balls and two strikes. Sutter Moss has now worked the count full. Full count with nobody out. The payoff delivery from Acedo misses high and away, and Sutter Moss works himself a walk, and the leadoff man is aboard for Sutter Moss, leading in the walks category for the whole team. That was his 39th of the year. Now Joel Calderon will come to the plate. Calderon, his last time up, flew out to the center fielder. The ball hit on the screws to the deepest part of the ballpark. An unfortunate turn of events that resulted in an out. He's going to Antelope Valley Junior College. Calderon with a wide open stance. Runner not going. Calderon swings and misses the pitch outside. Strike one. Sutter Moss broke toward second, but then ran back to first base, just trying to deke a run over, a throw over rather. The 0-1 delivery is popped up toward the right field line, toward foul territory. Both right fielder and first baseman giving chase, but it lands out of play. It's a long and high strike two from Calderon as Acedo with a new baseball. Runner at first, that's Moss. He walked. The infielder double play depth looking for two with nobody out here in this bottom of the fifth. The 0-2 delivery is hit on the line, shot toward right field. The right fielder giving chase, goes into a dive. It's off his glove. It's going to go toward the corner. Around second and into third is Moss, staying at second base is Calderon, and Calderon reaches on the double and up to third base is Sutter Moss. Suddenly the tying run is at second base. There's a line shot chasing away from the right fielder of NBO Sacramento, Forrest Kistner. He went into a dive, couldn't quite make the catch. It went off the tip of his glove and trickled toward the 310 mark out there beyond the advertisements out there on the yellow wall. Now the corners will be drawn in for Dusty Vela, the leadoff man. As Acedo out of the stretch winds and deals, this pitch is grounded foul up the first baseline for strike one. Dusty Vela on the year is batting .347. He has 36 RBIs. Looking to get more here. The tying run at second base, that's Calderon. Now the 0-1 delivery to the left-hand hitting Vela is in the dirt, kicks all the way back to the screen. Hustling in to score is Moss, and moving up to third is Joel Calderon. A wild pitch puts the tying run 90 feet away. Now a 1-1 count on the left-hand hitting Dusty Vela. And it's 3-2. The Colt 45 is down only by one now. A 1-1 count, nobody out in this 3-2 ball game in the bottom of the fifth. Vela ready. The corner infielders along with the middle infielders are now all drawn in on the rim of the infield grass. The 1-1 delivery to Velez hit in the air toward right. The right fielder giving chase, looking up. It is gone! Dele un beso! That ball is over the wall, and the Colt 45s have taken the lead on the two-run shot from Dusty Velez. Pandemonium breaks out. It's a 4-3 ball game in this bottom of the sixth as the crowd rises to their feet, applauding the leadoff man, Dusty Vela. He gets his two more RBIs on the season, and it's a 4-3 lead for the Colt 45s as Griffith Finn will come to the plate. Still nobody out here in this bottom of the fifth. Left-handed inning Finn now steps in. First pitch swinging, skies one towards center. Center fielder charging in and will squeeze it for out number one. Griffith Finn, first pitch swinging. That one right at the center fielder. As the Colt 45s have come all the way back from their three-run deficit, they now have the one-run lead as McGuire Smith comes to the plate. He's 1-for-2 tonight. He is singled and grounded out. Left-hand hitter, even stance, waves the bat back and forth. Nobody on with one out as Acedo winds and deals. She's hit in the air toward left center. The center fielder giving chase. On the run will drop it in front of the track. McGuire Smith rounds first and is in to second, standing up on the error from the center fielder, Henry Palmer, who couldn't quite corral it cleanly. And Smith will be at second base. What looked like a routine fly ball ended up being dropped by Henry Palmer. And now NBO Sacramento becoming a little bit unraveled here. The state are looking to settle back in, facing off against Kyle Moulton, who's 1-for-2 tonight. Winds and deals out of the stretch. The chopper right toward the first baseman, who tries to back hit it, leaps up for it, goes off the tip of his glove, and Norton's going to be safe at first. And safe at third is McGuire Smith. So an unfortunate turn of events here for NBO Sacramento. The Colt 45s have runners at the corners. It's a 4-3 ball game with one out in the bottom of the fifth. They've scored three to take the lead here after a couple of hard hit balls that just couldn't quite find the sweet spot of the glove for NBO Sacramento. Tatum has moved over to third base after Davis Grawley is now came in the game to play first base. Zanny comes to the plate now, pops this one toward the first base dugout. The first baseman, Grawley, giving chase, will not get to it. He'll run out of room. Now an 0-1 count on Brandon Zanny. He walked his last time up. Runners at first and third. That's Norton and McGuire Smith. As Acedo comes set, Norton, big lead at first, not running. This one's hit in the air toward right center field. The center fielder giving chase. The right fielder under it should be playable. He'll squeeze it. Tagging on the play and diving in head first to home is McGuire Smith. He's safe on the sacrifice fly from Brandon Zanny. And that was 5-3, the Colt 45s ahead. Kyle Norton stays at first. Play 5-3, it's now. Press now, two gone. In this bottom of the fifth inning, they've scored four. Now Carter Dorison will come to the plate. He has singled and flown out tonight. He's 1-for-2. Still dancing off the bag at first, being held on by Grawley. Dorison takes a called strike one on the inside corner. A great pitch there from Tatum. Now, Dorison with a wide open stance. Norton shifting back and forth. Dorison lines one past the first base and into right field for a base hit. A wide turn at second base by Norton. He scampers back. Out single from Carter Dorison. That's his second hit of the night. At that as well. He has two hits on the night. Mason Cassingham will go out there to be the courtesy runner. Up base. This rally. It is now Keanu Mizuda to the plate. He's home. last, but he struck out twice tonight looking for his first hit of the ball game. As the manager for NDO Sacramento will trot out to the mound. My apologies to the pitching coach, Tim Davison, out to the mound. He'll have a little chat with his pitcher, Dan Acedo, as we get some Jeopardy theme music playing. And it looks like it might be a new pitcher for NDO Sacramento. Willie Tatum, who started the game at first base, shifted over to third base after Davis Grawley came in pinch hitting for Lance Sabaki, the second baseman. So Sabaki, I believe, stayed in the game at second base. But I'm not quite sure. It's actually Davis Grawley's at second base, rather. And then there was a defensive replacement that shifted Willie Tatum on over to third base. Now, the mound is broken up. Both runners going to throw down to second base. To get Cassingham is in time, and after all that, Mason Cassingham is caught stealing to end things. Mizuta will get a fresh set of downs when we head to the bottom of the sixth. Next inning, back out there is Eric Winchester. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cincinnati University. Cincinnati University is dedicated to nurturing community of faithful champions, individuals who understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Cincinnati University at cincinnu.edu.
Promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu. 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Reading, California. The third baseman, Willie Tatum, to the plate. A right-hand hitter facing off against Eric Winchester in this top of the sixth inning as Winchester delivers a first pitch fastball in the dirt blocked by Jorison. Tatum not chasing that pitch as it was down and in. Now Winchester peering in. Gets his sign. Wines and deals. Swing and a miss from Tatum. Fooled him on the breaking ball. Evens up the count at one ball and one strike. One ball, one strike. Nobody out. Eric Winchester now pitching with the lead. Delivers a 1-1. A fastball in the inner half. Called strike two. One ball and two strikes on the third baseman, Willie Tatum. Now the 1-2 delivery from Winchester. This is low and away. Check swing, appeal to first. No on the appeal. And Tatum stays alive with two balls and two strikes. Infield at normal depth. The 2-2 delivery with nobody out from Winchester is popped up toward the parking lot. And Tatum stays alive again. Darkness has started to fall and the lights have taken full effect. Here at Tiger Field in Reading, California. It's a 5-3 ball game in the top of the sixth. Wide open stance from Tatum. Winchester winds and deals a breaking ball upstairs for ball three. Jorison snags it, reaching up above his head. Snow cones it. A great squeeze there from Jorison, the catcher. Now the count full with nobody out in this top of the sixth. Winchester winds and deals a fastball on the inside corner at the knees. Mr. Tatum, you looking to buy anything? He says, no thanks, I'm just looking. And he's down on strikes for out number one. That is also the seventh strikeout from Eric Winchester. The eighth strikeout, rather, as he had seven previously. And now Brad Morris, the catcher, will come to the plate. A wide open stance. First pitch, swing and a miss. Strike one, a breaking ball off the outside edge. Got him to bite. No balls and one strike with one gone at the top of the sixth. Eric Winchester now pitching with the 5-3 lead. The 0-1 delivery sails high. Evens up the count at one ball and one strike. Jorison again coming out of the crouch to receive it. One ball, one strike, one out. And this top of the sixth, Winchester peers in at Jorison. Gets a sign, winds and deals a 1-1. In the dirt, misses low for ball two. Morris thought about swinging, didn't quite pull the trigger on it. Two balls and one strike. Now Winchester rubs up the baseball, comes set on the mound, kicks and deals the 2-1 pitch. Swing and a miss for strike two. Blew a fastball by him, high octane. Now a 2-2 count on Morris, the backstop for Indio Sacramento. Wide open stance on the right side. Winchester winds and deals the 2-2 in the dirt, blocked by Jorison. Looks like a breaking ball there. Now Winchester will go for a little walk around the backstop of the mound. Now climbs back up the hill. Here's in at Jorison again. Jorison sets up low and in. The payoff delivery is swung on and grounded up the third baseline. Calder and gloves. Throws to first in time for the out. A great play there on the backhand from Calderon. A ground ball right up the third baseline. He moved to his right about two or three steps behind the bag at third, set his feet, and threw across the diamond for the second out of the inning. Now there's two gone for the left-hand hitting Drew Hansen, the left fielder. He had the bases clearing triple last inning. An even stance from the left-hand hitter is Winchester kicks and deals. Misses low for ball one. Breaking ball there. Didn't catch the zone. Drew Hansen out there in left field tonight. The socks up high. Swings on this one. Grounds it right back to Winchester, the pitcher. Gloves and throws the first on a line for the out. A 1-3 put out ends the sixth. And NBO Sacramento goes 1-2-3. 3 up and 3 down. We're headed to the bottom of the sixth. Tonight's Colt 45's baseball game is brought to you by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions. Individuals who understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at SimpsonU.edu.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve a growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu. 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Texas, Reading, California. Pitcher out there, NBO Sacramento, the right-hand point, Century Perry, faced off against the 7, 8, and 9 hitters, Mizuda, Moss, and Calderon for the Colt 45s. He's come on in relief of Dan Acedo, who went the first five of this ball game, giving up a total of 8 hits and 5 runs. He walked 2 and struck out a total of 3. So a solid outing from Dan Acedo, but now it's Dimitri Perry on in relief. The defensive replacements are Jonas Dias in the game at first base. He came into the game last inning and Willie Tatum, the first baseman of the first two games of the series, moved on over to third base, taking over there for Dylan Dre as Mizuta takes a first pitch on the inside corner called strike one. Mizuta was up to the plate, switching to batting left last inning before casting and was caught stealing. And now another pitch on the outside corner called strike two. Mizuta has struck out twice tonight, both looking. Now in an 0-2 hole with nobody out in the bottom of the sixth. It's a 5-3 ball game. The Colt 45's on top. The 0-2 delivery misses outside. One ball and two strikes on the Colt 45's right fielder. Now Perry comes set, kicks and deals a 1-2. A breaking ball misses outside. Two balls and two strikes. Now Perry comes set, first base out of the rubber glove at the belt. Kicks and deals the 2-2 offering. Is waved out, grounded toward the third baseman, Tatum, with gloves and throws to first. Down the first baseline, but the first baseman receives it and puts the tag on Mizuta for the out. A great play there by Jonas Dias, who came in the game last inning at first base, which shifted Tatum on over to third after Tatum's throw was down the first baseline. But Dias able to get a glove on it and make the play. A great play there from Jonas Dias. Now Sutter Moss will come to the plate. He walked his last time up before coming around to score. His walk started the four-run inning that eventually gave the Colt 45s the lead. Now with one out, nobody on, the right-hander Perry comes set, winds and deals. Moss swings and misses strike one. Left-hand hitter, wide open stance. 0-1 count now on him. He taps the plate with his bat. Now readies. Perry comes set, winds and deals the 0-1. It's hit in the air toward left. Left fielder giving chase. Might be playable, might have some room. He reaches up and squeezes it on the track. Sutter Moss gives it a ride, but can't quite muscle it out. That is out number two. Gave it a ride, but it was right to the warning track to the left of the Holiday Market sign out there in front of the yellow wall. Gave it about 325 feet of distance. And now Joel Calderon will come to the plate. He had double his last time up just beyond the reach of the center fielder Palmer. He takes a first pitch fastball inside. One ball and no strikes. Right-hand hitter, open stance. Vela is on deck. The 1-0 delivery from the righty Perry. Fastball just misses inside for ball two. Two balls and no strikes on the right-hand inning Calderon. Two balls, no strikes with two outs. And Perry delivers a fastball in the inner half for strike one. Two balls and one strike now. Two balls, one strike, two out. 5-3, the Colt 45s have the lead in this bottom of the sixth. The 2-1 delivery. This is low and away for ball three. A breaking ball didn't quite catch the corner there. I expect Perry to go back to the heater as he climbs up the back slope of the hill, rubbing up a new baseball. Now, peering in his catcher glove at the belt comes set. The 3-1 delivery to the right-hand hitting Calderon is a fastball in the dirt. Calderon lays off to work the walk. And now, Dusty Vela will come to the plate. He's 1-for-3 tonight, but his last at-bat, he had that towering two-run shot that gave the Colt 45s the lead. Left-hand hitter Calderon at first being held on by Dias, the first baseman. Dusty Vela taps the plate with his bat, left-hand hitter. Calderon taking his lead at first, a couple steps off the bag. Not running on the play, tries to deke the pitcher. Vela, first pitch swing, skies it toward left, should be playable. The left fielder Hansen will get under it and squeeze it for out number three. So Calderon is stranded at first, and the side is retired. The 45s get none, but they strand one. And it's still 5-3 after six, headed to the top of the seventh. Tonight's game of Colt 45s Baseball is sponsored by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who are inspired by their faith are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Reading, California. David Henry, the pinch hitter for Forrest Kistner, facing off against Winchester in his top of the seventh to pitch on first pitch fastball in the inner half, called strike one. David Henry again, right-hand hitter, pinch hitting for Forrest Kistner. He swings and misses. That's strike two. No balls and two strikes as Eric Winchester takes a deep breath and now climbs back up on the hill. The 0-2 delivery with nobody out is fouled off for the right first base dugout and over into the parking lot. Count remains no balls and two strikes. To the right end hitting David Henry, who's pinch hitting for Forrest Kistner. Kistner went 0-2 earlier tonight. The 0-2 delivery is a line shot past the diving cauldron into left field for a base hit. A wide turn at first and played back quickly by the left fielder Smith will hold David Henry with a long single. But the leadoff man is aboard for NBO Sacramento. And just like that, the tying run is up to the plate as Jonas Dias will get his first try at Eric Winchester after he came on as a defensive replacement in the fifth inning. A right-hand hitter, open stance. Winchester out of the stretch, runner not going at first. Lives a fastball, swing and a miss. Four strike one. Jonas Dias playing first base, taking over those duties for Willie Tatum, who shifted on over to third. Dias readies as Winchester comes set. The 0-1 delivery out of the stretch from Winchester. Another fastball blows it by him for strike two. More high octane from Eric Winchester. Jonas Dias in the first game of the series went 2-for-5 with a single and double. Winchester comes set. The 0-2 delivery popped up out of play beyond the first base dugout. The count remains no balls and two strikes. And last night, Jonas Dias went 0-for-4. He was the last man standing in the ninth before the runner was caught stealing, or picked off, rather. Now the 0-2 delivery from Eric Winchester is swung on and missed for strike three, and it's another strikeout for Eric Winchester. That's number 9 on the evening. They've all been swinging except for one. That is out number 1, and now the Colt 45 is looking for 2 to get out of the inning. They were at double play depth before. They remain there for Brett Griffiths, the leadoff man, who's 0-for-3 tonight. A right-hand hitter, slightly open stance, deep in the box. Jorison gives the sign to Winchester. Norton holding on. Henry at first. Henry not going. Back pick by Jorison down to first. Tag put on the runner is not quite in time. The ball was in the dirt. Jorison corralling it. Did a great job of keeping it in front of him. Now a 1-0 count on the shortstop. Brett Griffiths, right-hand hitter. Right-on-right matchup as Winchester comes set out of the stretch. Runner 2 or 3 steps off the bag at first. This one's grounded through the left of Vela. Diving. Can't quite hold on to it, and everyone's going to be safe. Vela dove to his left, kept it in the infield, but bobbled it as it kicked away from him. Was not able to make a throw on it. So safe at second is Henry, and safe at first is Brett Griffiths on the error by Dusty Vela. It was a hot shot right at him. Couldn't quite cleanly corral it. Now there's runners at first and second with one out. The Colt 45 still looking for two in this 5-3 ball game. The go-ahead run at the plate and the tying run at first base. Winchester comes set as Davis Grawley checks in again. Right-hand hitter, and Winchester delivers a ball in the dirt. Misses low. One ball and no strikes. Runners at first and second. 5-3 ball game. You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. I'm Jacob Green. It's great to have you with us. Winchester delivers a fastball up in the zone. Make the count, two balls and no strikes to the second baseman, David Grawley, who took over in the fifth inning for Lance Sabaki. I have David Wiley back in the studio. It's great to have you with us for the final game of this 2024 summer season of Colt 45's baseball. Special thank you to all my listeners throughout the year and the support for all of us at KCNR. Gaston Reddick, as this pitch is fouled off by Grawley for strike one. Two balls and one strike with one out. The infield looking for a double play. The shortstop Moss shifted up the middle. Vela about 10 or 12 steps to the right field side of the second base bag. Now Winchester comes set, checks the runners back. The 2-1 delivery, the right-hand hitting Grawley is on the outside corner, called strike two. Two balls and two strikes with one out. Eric Winchester looking for his 10th strikeout of the evening. Now peering in at Jorison, his catcher. Still peering in. Can't agree on a sign from Jorison. Now he does come set. Is the righty Grawley is ready. The 2-2 delivery from Winchester is a fastball on the outside corner. Ring him up. Strike D called. Mr. Grawley, you looking to buy anything? He says, no, thanks. I'm just looking. He's down on strikes four. Out number two, and that is strikeout number 10 for Eric Winchester. He's two away from his season high of 12. In this top of the seventh inning, now two gone for the center fielder, Henry Palmer, right-hand hitter, wide-open stance. Runners take their leads from first and second. The infield shifted righty to pole as Winchester delivers a fastball low and in for ball one. The right-hand hitter, definitely a pole hitter with the shift on here, as Calder in is two or three steps off the line to third. Now Winchester comes set. First base out of the rubber, the 1-0 delivery with two outs in this top of the seventh inning is fouled back to the screen. One ball and one strike. The Colt 45s have the 5-3 lead. The tying run is at first base, and the go-ahead run is standing at the plate. It's the right-hand hitter, Henry Palmer, who is 1-for-2 tonight. He also reached on a hit-by-pitch. Now Winchester gets a sign. The 1-1 delivery as he checks the runners back. With two outs, here it is. Misses low. Two balls and one strike. He's walked three on the night and has also struck out 10. He just needs an out here to get out of the jam. Runners at first and second, they take their leads, not being held on by the infielders. And it's top of the seventh and a 5-3 ball game. The 2-1 delivery is grounded right toward the shortstop Moss, who flips to second, where Vela is on the bag in time for the force out. And the side is retired. So the NBO Sacramento Ball Club, friends, but they do not score. They strand two, score none. It's 5-3, and it's time to stretch here at Tiger Field in Redding, California, for the final time this season. As we have Scott Lewis singing tonight's rendition of God Bless America as the crowd rises and removes their cap. Tonight's rendition from Scott Lewis.
Sweet.
ahead, folks. That was Scott Lewis with tonight's rendition of God Bless America. Tonight's game is sponsored by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals to understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Ready, set, spin!
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. We just stretched here at Tiger Field. It's a 5-3 ball game, the bottom of the seventh. It's Colt 45. Back up for some more offense. Looking to get the win here. They are 34-4 on the year. Looking to get their 35th win. It would be their 19th in a row. They won the last two games of this series. They're looking to sweep NBO Sacramento to end their season. Willie Tatum shifts back on over to first base. And we have a new third base for NBO Sacramento as Griffith Finn will step into the box to lead off. This seventh inning, he's playing center field tonight. He's 0-3 tonight, something very uncharacteristic of Mr. Finn. Step into the box and even stance. The catcher Morris sets up low and in. Fastball catches the outside corner, called strike one. No balls and one strike. The infield playing at normal depth except for the third baseman who's even with the bag there at third. The 0-1 delivery to the left-hand hitting Finn misses outside. A breaking ball. One ball and one strike. Finn now steps back in the box, taps the plate with his bat. As Demetri Perry, the righty, comes set, now winds, deals the 1-1, misses low. Two balls and one strike. Balls and one strike to the center fielder. McGuire Smith is on deck. Catcher sets up away. The 2-1 delivery is a fastball on the outer half at the knees, called strike two. Two balls and two strikes on the Colt 45's center fielder. Now the 2-2 delivery is in the dirt, blocked by Morris, the catcher. A great play there by Brad Morris as the count fills to three balls and two strikes. Nobody on. It's a 5-3 ball game in the bottom of the seventh. Finn readies as Demetri Perry comes set, and the righty delivers a payoff pitch. Ground ball right toward the second baseman who fields and throws on over to first in time. The 4-3 put out for out number one. Second baseman Davis Grawley to first baseman Willie Tatum. Very routine ground ball for Davis Grawley. That's out number one as McGuire Smith will saunter to the plate. He's 1-for-2 tonight but has reached on an error. It was a double off the glove of the center fielder. As the infield stays at regular depth with the third baseman playing even with the bag for the left-hand hitting McGuire Smith with the Sox up high as Morris sets up away. So it's grounded right toward the first base dugout. NBO Sacramento players scrambling to make a play on it barehanded. No balls and one strike with one out. In front of a capacity crowd here at Tiger Field, the final game of the 2024 season. The 0-1 delivery from Perry is bounced in front of the plate. Morris walks it again. One ball and one strike. With one out. As Smith waves the bat back and forth. Now ready as Morris sets up away. This one's hit in the air. A line shot toward left fielder giving chase to the track. Right to the wall. Looks up. dele un beso, that ball. It's not gone. It's off the top of the wall. Maguire Smith hit it off the top of the wall. It looked like he hit it out. Even he thought it out as he slowed into second. He has himself a stand-up double. It was just to the right of the 320 mark out there. Went off the top of the wall. And amazing shot from Maguire Smith. He was about 6 inches short to a foot short of hitting a home run. But he'll be at second base with a stand-up double as it was played back by the left fielder Drew Hansen. Now, the left-handed and Kyle Norton comes to the plate. He's 2-for-3 tonight. Takes a fastball in the outer half, a called strike one. I was with Maguire Smith on that play. I thought he had a home run, but it went off the top of the wall. Now the 0-1 delivery is ground ball right to the second baseman. Running on over to third is Maguire Smith as the throw to the first baseman. Tatum is on the money for another 4-3 put out by Davis Grawley, and that's out number two. But Maguire Smith shifts on over to third as Brandon Zanny now comes to the plate. Brandon Zanny, pinch hit for Betanco in the fourth. He walked and also has a sacrifice fly that resulted in a run. It's 5-3 in the bottom of the seventh. There's two gone. Runner at third is Maguire Smith. This pitch is hit, and it's going to land in front of the left fielder for a base hit. The line shot over a leaping shortstop. The left fielder came charging in, but couldn't quite make a play on it. That was Drew Hansen, and coming in to score and make this ballgame 6-3 is Maguire Smith. Brandon Zanny has himself his second RBI of the night and his first hit of the night. He's now 1-for-1 as Carter Jorison will come to the plate. Jorison on the night is 2-for-3. His last two ABs, he's hit the ball hard, and it's found some grass both times. Zanny taking his lead at first. Jorison, first pitch swing, fouls it into the parking lot for strike one. No balls and one strike to the Colt 45's catcher, Carter Jorison, out of Santa Margarita, California. This is a great time to thank his parents for tuning in and listening all the way down there in Southern California. The 0-1 delivery is grounded up the first baseline, foul for strike two. They took some time to personally thank me and the team here that helps bring everyone some live baseball all summer long. So I'd like to thank them in return. It's been an honor and a privilege. And a special thanks to David Wiley back in the studio, who's done a lot of behind-the-scenes work for me here and Austin White earlier in the season. A pickoff him to first. Danny's back in plenty of time. He's got a humble lead over there, about 2 or 3 steps off the bag, being held on by Tatum. The 0-2 delivery to the right-hand hitting Jorison. Fastball misses wide. 1-2. Good take there by Jorison to lay off the fastball. So a special thank you to all our listeners. I also know Noah Betanco's father, Bismarck Betanco, took some time to personally thank me as well. It means a lot to get the support and appreciation from fans listening as a fastball comes in and plunks Jorison on the helmet and seems to be okay. He'll take first base, but very clearly upset as that high fastball came in and bounced off the helmet. He'll take first base on the hit-by-pitch. Cassingham will go out there to be the courtesy runner, and Zanny will move up to second base. Jorison will trot back into the dugout to put on the tools of ignorance. He seems to be perfectly okay. That is another hit-by-pitch issue to the Colt 45s, the second one of this ballgame. Now the left-hand hitting Keanu Mizuta to the plate. He's 0-for-3 tonight, still searching for his first hit. Switch hitter batting left, runners at first and second with two outs. Fastball misses outside for ball one. 1-0 on the switch hitting Mizuta, who's batting left. Infield at normal depth, not holding on the runners. The 1-0 delivery from Perry out of the stretch. Hit on a line shot right at the right fielder for out number three. The ball hit right on the screws, but it was right at the right fielder, David Henry, who didn't even have to move to make that play. We're headed to the top of the eighth inning. This could be a new pitcher on in the leaf in this 6-3 ball game. Tonight's game is sponsored by Simpson University They are dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Infusion. Number 1, 2, 3, 3, 4.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Reading, California. Top of the eighth inning, Thomas Canfield is honored in the leaf of Eric Winchester, who finished his final start of the year, going 7 innings of 5-hit ball. He gave up 3 runs, walked 3, and struck out 10. Weeks off, and this top of the eighth inning will be the DH Duncan Hansen, who has doubled and struck out twice tonight. Right-hand hitter for Thomas Canfield, 6'1 left-hander, weighing in at 200 pounds. He's got a 2.87 ERA in 10 games this season. He's got 15 and two-thirds innings of work under his belt. He winds and deals a first-pitch fastball on the outer half, called strike one. He struck out 19 and walked 15, allowed 9 hits. Now the lefty comes set, kicks and deals the 0-1 to the right-hand hitting Hansen. This is up and away. 1 ball and 1 strike. Now Hansen waves the bat back and forth. It's the 1-1 delivery from Canfield. It gets a sign from Jorison. Jorison sets up low and away. The 1-1 delivery with nobody out. This is just off the plate outside for ball 2. 2 balls and 1 strike now. 2 balls, 1 strike, nobody out, nobody on. In this 6-3 ball game, it's the top of the 8th. Canfield winds and deals, fouled off over the first base dugout for strike 2. Now the 2-2 count. It's Canfield. Glove tucked up by his shoulder, ball tucked behind his back leg at the belt. Now comes set. Kicks and deals the 2-2 to the right-hand hitting Hansen. Hit in the air toward right Mizuta. Breaking in, charging. It's going to be Vela drifting out. Playable. And Vela squeezes it for out number 1. Now Willie Tatum will come to the plate. Back at first base in this top of the eighth inning in a 6-3 ball game. Thomas Canfield on in relief of Eric Winchester, who went 7. Willie Tatum, wide open stance, right-hand hitter. He's singled, walked, and struck out looking tonight. Canfield kicks and delivers a fastball outside. 1 ball and no strikes. To Indio Sacramento's first baseman. Canfield gets his sign. Now delivers the 1-0. Fastball on the outside corner at the knees, called strike 1. 1 ball and 1 strike in this top of the eighth inning. Canfield gets his sign again. Infield playing at normal depth. With Vela on the rim of the outfield grass. Canfield winds, delivers a fastball just off the plate outside. That's ball 2, and the home plate umpire gets a little bit of jawing from the fans here at Tiger Field. Very lively crowd tonight. Almost capacity. Now Canfield. The 2-1 delivery from the third base side of the rubber. Sails a fastball beyond the glove of Jorison all the way back to the screen for ball 3. three balls and one strike. Three balls and one strike. Jorison is going to go back behind the plate, kick some dirt around, and buy Canfield some time to take a deep breath. One out in this top of the eighth inning. Canfield trying to get the hold here as he delivers a fastball at the knees. Called strike two. Tatum started taking first base, thought he had the free pass, but it'll be called back. A full count now with one out and nobody on in this 6-3 ball game. Canfield comes set to pay off delivery. Swung on, hit in the air toward right. Mizuta charging in, should be playable. He'll squeeze it on the run for out number two. Tatum lines out to the right fielder, Mizuta, for out number two. And now Brad Morris, the catcher, will come to the plate. He's 0-for-2 with a walk tonight. As Canfield, looking to make quick work of Indio Sacramento, comes set again. Winds in, delivers to the right end hitting Morris. And it's taken for a strike on the outside corner. Breaking ball there, called strike one. No balls and one strike as Canfield now winds in, delivers the 0-1. It's swung on and missed for strike two. No balls and two strikes. Even stance. No balls and two strikes with two outs in this top of the eighth inning. A wide open stance from Morris as Canfield comes set. The 0-2 delivery is breaking ball in the dirt, blocked by Jorison. One ball and two strikes now. Canfield trying to sit NBO Sacramento down 1-2-3 in this top of the eighth inning. He's pitching with a three-run lead after Winchester went seven, only allowing three runs. Colt 45 has rallied all the way back to take the lead. Now Canfield gets a sign from Jorison. The catcher sets up low and in. The 1-2 delivery from the lefty Canfield is a fastball. Swung on and missed. Goes past Jorison, who clears and throws down to first base for the out. And NBO Sacramento goes 1-2-3. We're headed to the bottom of the eighth inning. It's 6-3. The Colt 45 is on top. Tonight's Colt 45's baseball game is brought to you by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand that their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's the Colt 45, hopefully their last ups of this 2024 season. They have a three-run lead. They'd love to get more runs of insurance in this bottom of the eighth inning. It's 6-3. Back out there for his inning of work is Dimitri Perry. My apologies, it is a new pitcher on in relief. Bryce Sabaki on in relief of Dimitri Perry. He'll be facing off against Sutter Moss, Joel Calderon, and then the leadoff man, Dusty Vela. And this bottom of the eighth inning, 6-3 ball game. For Dimitri Perry, he went two innings of work, allowing a total of one run on two hits before the Colt 45 stranded two to end the inning. For this bottom of the eighth, it's going to be the right-hand throwing Bryce Sabaki getting the final inning of work. As Sutter Moss comes to the plate, left-hand hitter. He's 0-for-2 with a walk tonight. Left-hand hitter, wide open stance, third baseman, even with the bag over there at the hot corner. First pitch misses low and in for ball one. One ball and no strikes. And Sabaki winds and deals. Bounces it in front of the plate, goes all the way back to the screen. That's ball two. Sutter Moss on the year has 39 walks after his walk in the fifth inning. Lefty readies. Wide open stance as Sabaki comes set. Now deals the 1-0 in the dirt, blocked by the catcher Morris again. That's ball three. Three balls and no strikes. Moss very close to working his 40th walk of the season. Three balls and no strikes. On the left-hand hitting, Sutter Moss, the shortstop tonight. 3-0 delivery from Sabaki. Misses inside, turning away from it is Sutter Moss. And he reaches first base on the walk. A free pass awarded to him. And he will take first base. That is his 40th walk of the season. And now Joel Calderon will come to the plate. Joel Calderon playing third base tonight. He has doubled, flown out, and walked tonight. Sabaki winds and deals a fastball on the outside corner for strike one. No balls and one strike on the third baseman, Joel Calderon, who waves the wood back and forth. Wide open stance from the righty showing bunt. The ball's bounced in front of the plate. The catcher can't find it. And taking second base easily is Sutter Moss. Calderon confusing the pitcher there, showing bunt, pulled it back in time as it was bounced in front of the plate. And then Moss, after the ball kicked away from Morris, the catcher, was able to take second base. He started to break towards second as Calderon showed bunt, and then hesitated briefly before it kicked away from Morris. Now, one ball and one strike. As now the catcher Morris will walk out to the mound, have a little chat with his pitcher Sabaki. It's Calderon steps out of the box, takes a breather himself. Vela is on deck. Morris now makes his way back toward his position behind home plate. There's no activity up in the Colt 45 pen. Seems like it is Canfield's game to finish. Runner at second, he's in scoring position. That's Moss. The 1-1 delivery from Sabaki is a breaking ball in the dirt for ball two. Two balls and one strike. Calderon a wide open stance. Right-hand hitter. The 2-1 delivery from Sabaki's blocked in the dirt. Blocked by Morris. Kicked away toward the on-deck circle. And Sutter Moss will take third easily again on the pass ball. Uncontested. It's a 3-1 count now on the third baseman Calderon. Calderon tonight has walked once, doubled, and flown out. So he's 1-for-2 with a walk. Now Sabaki, first base side of the rubber. The outfield playing straight up on Calderon. The infield brought in. The 3-1 delivery from Sabaki is swung on, hit on the line, shot toward left field. He's going to have to play it on the hop. Moss hesitated briefly, and they'll come in to score. And it's 7-3 on Calderon's RBI single. Moss was going to tag up on the play. It was a line shot right at the left fielder, Drew Hansen. He ended up having to play it on a hop, let it land in front of him, and then threw it in. But it was not in time as Moss came in to score. And now it's a 7-3 ball game in this bottom of the eighth inning for Dusty Vela, who is 1-for-4 tonight, but that one hit was a two-run shot that gave the Colt 45s the lead. Lefty readies as Sabaki, the right-hand pitcher, comes set, winds, and deals. The infield has the shortstop and second baseman pinching up the middle, looking to turn two. The first pitch fastball comes in and catches the corner, called strike one. The third baseman playing even with the bag. Now the 0-1 delivery, the runner not going. Calderon is in the dirt, blocked by Morris, the catcher. And remaining at first is Calderon. One ball and one strike on the left-hand hitting Vela. An even stance for the left-hand hitter. Calderon taking his lead, being held on by Tatum. The 1-1 delivery is waved at, fouled off. just barely. It goes off the catcher and then trickles back to the screen for strike two. Griffith Finn is on deck. He's 0 for 4, searching for his first hit tonight, along with the other man who's gone 0 for 4 tonight, Tiana Mizuda, who will be later in the lineup. Now a 1-2 count with nobody out. Runner at first. The 1-2 delivery. It's a breaking ball just off the plate outside. Two balls and two strikes to the leadoff man, Dusty Vela. Second base in the night in this 7-3 ball game. The Colt 45 is looking to get their 35th win of the season. Pickoff attempt to first is not in time. Calderon dives back safely. Close play over there, but Calderon diving back with the right hand was in time. Two balls and two strikes. As the righty, Bryce Sabaki, first base out of the rubber, out of the stretch, the 2-2 delivery to left-hand inning Vela. Vela fouls this one off over the third base dugout, and the count remains two balls and two strikes. Again, the infield playing a double play depth, the outfield playing straight up, with the right fielder shifted a couple steps toward the right field line. The 2-2 delivery from the righty Sabaki as he comes set. First base out of the rubber, winds and deals a fastball outside. Morris, the catcher, corrals it. Throws down to second. The tag put on the runner. Calderon is not in time. And Calderon steals second base. Morris blocked it in the dirt. And it kicked away from him momentarily. He quickly corralled it and threw down to second base. He was behind the left-hand hitting Vela. Now a full count on Vela. Calderon dove in head first. The payoff delivery is swung on and missed by Vela. Fooled him on the fastball there. And that is out number one. The infield does not have a double play to turn. And now Griffith Finn has been one of the Colt 45's hottest hitters all season long. Will come to the plate. He's 0 for 4 tonight, searching for his first hit. With one out, runner at second in scoring position. At 7-3. In this bottom of the eighth, Sabaki comes set first base side. Now winds and delivers a breaking ball on the outside corner at the knees, a called strike one. Finn is struck out, grounded out twice, and flown out. Now Sabaki peering in at his catcher Morris, who gives him the sign. He comes set first base side. The 0-1 delivery is in the dirt, blocked by Morris, the catcher. One ball and one strike. Finn being patient here, showing off the plate discipline. He's got 36 walks on the season. Now Sabaki winds and delivers 1-1. Breaking ball in the dirt. Morrison gliding to his left. Keeps it in front of him. It's two balls and one strike now. Griffith Finn, the left-hand hitting center fielder. Now stepping back into the box is Finn. The 2-1 delivery from the righty Sabaki. Is in the dirt, skirts right between the legs of the catcher all the way back to the screen. And Calderon will take third base on the pass ball. And now the eighth run for the Colt 45s is only 90 feet away. As Griffith Finn is now working a 3-1 count with one out in this bottom of the eighth inning. Sabaki now has the NBO Sacramento infield drawn in. He comes set, winds and deals the 3-1 pitch. It's a breaking ball on the outside corner, called strike two. A tough take there from Finn. Thought he had ball four. Again, the NBO Sacramento infield is playing on the rim of the infield grass. With one out, the payoff delivery from the righty Bryce Sabaki. It's a fastball, misses low for ball four. And Griffith Finn works a walk. In this 7-3 ball game, there's runners at the corners, the bottom of the eighth. And now Kim Davison will trot out to the mound, have a little talk with his pitcher, catcher, and third baseman. And now the first baseman will join too, Willie Tatum. They'll chat things over what they want to do here. They want to get a ground ball, get a double play, and get out of the inning. Go to the top of the ninth, only down by four, rather than anything more. There, as the Colt 45s are threatening here, looking to score more and tack on some more insurance. But NBO Sacramento looking to end the 45s' run of offense and limit it to just one. And now Kim Davison will make his way back to the dugout. Andy Nintz, the third baseman, also making his way back to his position. And now McGuire Smith, a left-hand hitter. He's 2-for-4 tonight. He had that double and single, and then the ball that went off the tip of the center fielder's glove. There's one out, runners at the corners. They play the infield, a double play depth with Tatum holding the runner on Finn at first. Finn not running on the play. Morris pops out of the crouch to throw the ball down to first, but the ball pops out of his glove on the transfer, and he keeps it close. That's ball one after McGuire Smith laid off that pitch. Morris was popping out of the crouch to throw down to first. Finn was way off the bag. He bobbled it momentarily. Now the pitch in third blocked by Morris again. Two balls and no strikes. Morris has blocked a number of pitches in the dirt this inning. He's also missed a couple, but about 50% of the pitches from Savaki have either bounced or been in the dirt. Now a 2-0 count on the left-hand hitting McGuire Smith. The 2-0 delivery from Savaki misses high. 4-3. You do not want to load the bases here if you're Savaki. NBO Sacramento looking for a ground ball. They want to turn two and keep the damage to a minimum. The 3-0 pitch. It's a fastball on the outside corner at the belt. Called strike one. Good take there by Smith. Might have been ball four. But he'll take a first strike. Kyle Norton's on deck. Another power hitter. The 3-1 delivery. Catches the inside corner at the knees. Called strike two. A great fastball there from Savaki. Painted the corner. Now a full count with one out. Tatum holding Finn on at first. The third baseman, Nintz, even with the bag at third. Finn at first. Calderon at third. The payoff delivery with one out to the left-hand hitting McGuire Smith. As Savaki, the righty, delivers a fastball. Popped up toward the third base dugout. The third baseman, Nintz, giving chase, but it's going to land out of play just beyond the bleachers out there in left field. A long foul ball, about 10 to 15 feet beyond the reach of the third baseman, Nintz. A full count, we're going to do it again with one out, runners at the corners. The middle infielders, the shortstop Griffiths and the second baseman, Grawley, shading up the middle looking to turn two. Pickoff attempt down to first is not in time. Diving back with both hands is Griffith Fenn. Calderon at third. The third baseman, Andy Nintz, two or three steps off the line, even with the bag. The payoff delivery again to the left-hand hitting McGuire Smith with one out. And this bottom of the eighth is fouled back over the crowd behind home plate. And we'll do it again in what has turned into a nine-pitch at-bat. McGuire Smith battling here. Bryce Savaki just trying to pound the zone with fastballs that he's been able to get the swing and miss on. Now, the payoff delivery. Finn not running. It's a line shot. It's going to land in front of the center fielder. Finn around second to throw into third. Is not going to be in time. Coming in to score is Calderon. And save at first with a base hit is McGuire Smith. It's an 8-3 ball game. McGuire Smith wins the battle and gets the RBI. Calderon coming in to score is the eighth run. And it's now 8-3 in this bottom of the eighth. 45s have a 5-run lead. They were once down 3-0 in this ball game. Now the left-hand inning, Kyle Norton comes to the plate. Even stance. Left-hand hitter watched the fastball miss way upstairs for ball one. Shout-out to Jim Bremer, Pat Park, Carl and Linda Bott, Sue McClain, and all the KCNR family that has helped to bring you these games. This one's popped up on the infield. Tatum coming in toward the first base coach's box. Well, squeeze it for out number two, and Kyle Norton pops out for out number two. And we'll bring up Brandon Zanny to the plate. Zanny is 1-for-1 tonight with a walk and a sacrifice fly. Carter Jorison's on deck in this 8-3 ball game. Runners at the corners again. Finn at third and caught in between the bases are both of the runners. Finn and Smith throwing over to the shortstop to try and get Smith tagged. It's not going to be in time. They're going to throw home as Finn diving in head first. And he's going to be tagged out. And that's the third out of the inning. A rough way to end the inning. And it looks like Bob Anderson might argue the call with the umpires here. Wants to see what happened. They were trying to score the run as Griffin Finn came diving in head first. But the throw from the shortstop, Brett Griffiths, was in time to the catcher, Brad Morris. It got Finn as he dove in Superman-style head first. Thomas Canfield now takes the field with the rest of the Colt 45's defense to take the mound for this top of the ninth inning after the side was retired and caught stealing on the play as Griffith Finn. And we're headed to the ninth. It is 8-3. The Colt 45's on top. They're up by 5. Tonight's Colt 45's baseball game is brought to you by Simpson University. Simpson University is dedicated to nurturing a community of faithful champions, individuals who understand that their education is their calling. Their commitment goes beyond academic excellence. It's about cultivating leaders who, inspired by their faith, are ready to address the challenges of the world with compassion and integrity. Simpson University at simpsonu.edu.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's the top of the ninth inning. Thomas Canfield is on in his second full inning of relief, looking to close out the game for these Colt 45s. They put 8 runs on the board. They were down 3-0, but ended up coming all the way back. Now have a 5-run lead in this final game of the season. They're looking to get their 35th win of the year. It would be their 19th straight win, and it would close out this 2024 campaign. Again, I want to say a special thank you to all our listeners here from KCNR, Shasta, Reading. It's great to have you with us. It has been an honor and a privilege all season long, especially with David Wiley back in the studio doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work that our listeners can't hear. But it's been an honor and a privilege for me, who's just a kid living out their childhood dream of calling a baseball game on the radio, following in the steps of some of my childhood heroes. And I've been able to watch this whole team all season long, so a special thank you to Carl and Linda Bott at KCNR Shasta Redding for this opportunity. As will be Drew Hansen and David Henry, followed by Jonas Dias, facing off against Thomas Canfield, the lefty who came on in relief of Mr. Eric Winchester, who went 7 innings for NBO Sacramento. They scored 3 runs on a total of 5 hits. And now we're ready to get things started here in the top of the ninth. It's 8-3. The infield playing a bit back for the left-hand hitting Drew Hansen as Canfield winds and delivers a fastball in on the hands. The home plate umpire just gave a warning to both benches as it did actually graze the hands of Drew Hansen, and it's getting a little bit interesting here. It's the home plate umpire took off his mask very quickly. Now Bob Anderson is going to come out to talk to his pitcher and catcher. He's going to take the baseball from Thomas Canfield, and we're going to get a new pitcher on in relief in a wild turn of events. Bob Anderson was chatting with the home plate umpire between innings. So it's going to be a new pitcher on in relief. We're going to cut to break to allow a relief pitcher.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
So Drew Perrigo on in relief of Thomas Canfield, the lefty. It's going to be Drew Perrigo, the righty, on in relief. He'll be facing off against the 8 and 9 hitters of David Henry and Jonas Dias with the runner at first. Hopefully we'll not have to face the top of the order. He's taking his warm-up tosses. The tall righty with the old-school stirrups looking to close this final game of the season out for the Colt 45s. Thomas Canfield went an inning and a third. He hit one batter. That was Drew Hansen, who's at first base. He'll be held on by Kyle Norton out of Feather River Junior College. Drew Perrigo rocking the old school stirrups, the socks up high for the righty with a funky delivery from the third base side of the rubber. He now concludes his warm-up tosses, looking to close out this game. Right base side of the rubber. Morrison still receiving his warm-up tosses. Perrigo showing off the high velocity that he has, very similar to Eric Winchester, started tonight's ball game. The right hand hitting David Henry to the plate. Perrigo goes for a little walk. The Colt 45s move their defense to double play depth. The right hand hitting David Henry, who pinch hit for Forrest Kissner, and he singled his last time up. He's 1-for-1 tonight. Wide open stance with the socks up high as Perrigo comes set out of the stretch. Now kicks and deals a fastball. Swing and a miss for strike one on the right fielder. It's the top of the ninth. Taking his lead from first is Hansen. Perrigo comes set. The 0-1 delivery is a fastball on the inner half at the knees. Called strike two. No balls and two strikes. Nobody out. In the top of the ninth, the Colt 45s have a 5-run lead. Perrigo comes set. The 0-2 delivery is a fastball swing and a miss. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night is out number one. It's a swinging strikeout for the relief pitcher, Drew Perrigo, on in relief of the lefty Canfield. Three fantastic fastballs, and now the Colt 45s are a double play away from closing out this season. Now Perrigo comes set and delivers to the right hand hitting. Jonas Dias, who takes a fastball on the outer half, are called strike one. No balls and one strike to the right hand hitter. Now Dias comes set. Winds and deals the 0-1 with the runner at first. The fastball swing and a miss. Strike two. Five straight fastballs, five straight strikes for Drew Perrigo. Glove at the belt. Ball tucked behind him. Now comes set again. The 0-2 delivery to the right hand hitting Dias. Fastball on the outside corner. Ring him up. Strike three called. Mr. Dias, you looking to buy? He says, no thanks, I'm just looking. He's down on strikes for out number two, and the Colt 45s are one out away from their 19th straight win and their 35th win of the season. In this final game of the 2024 summer season, Brett Griffiths now comes to the plate as he takes a fastball off the plate outside for ball one. One ball and no strikes after back-to-back strikeouts from Drew Perrigo. Glove to belt comes set. The infield at normal depth, not holding the runner on at first. The 1-0 delivery. It's a fastball just off the plate outside for ball two. Looked a little low. Perrigo will go for a little walk now as he saunters around. Now climbs back up the hill, peers in it at his catcher, Jorison, who sets up low and away. The 2-0 pitch, fouled back to the screen. two balls and one strike. 2-1 count in this top of the ninth with two gone. Borrego comes set above the belt. The 2-1 delivery is a breaking ball fouled off, out of play. Four strike two. Two balls and two strikes with two outs in the top of the ninth. It's 8-3. The Colt 45s on top of NBO Sacramento. Now Borrego comes set. The righty. The 2-2 delivery is a breaking ball. Misses low. Back down to first. Off the bag. The throw by Jorson. The tag by Norton. It's out number three, and that's the way the ball game ends. The final score, 8-3. A great play by Carter Jorson to end the ball game. It was Drew Hansen way too far off the bag, and he was caught on the 2-3 put out where Kyle Norton put the tag on Drew Hansen. A great play by the backstop Carter Jorson. One of many he's made this season, doing a great job of being the backstop. And now the Colt 45s end their season with a record of 35-4. They end the season winning 19 straight. They sweep NBO Sacramento. They finish the season series against NBO Sacramento with a 5-1 record. The total for tonight, Colt 45s 8 runs on 10 hits, 1 error. They left 8 for NBO Sacramento, 3 runs on 5 hits, 2 errors. They left 6 the time of the game. The total of 2 hours and 38 minutes. I'm Jacob Green with KZNR Shasta Redding. It's been great to have you with us. A special thank you to David Wiley back in the studio. He's been my producer all season long, doing a great job. Special thank you to Austin White, who was my colleague to begin the year. And of course, Carl Linda Bott at KCNR, Shasta Redding, and all my listeners out there. And for the final time this season, this is Jacob Green with KCNR, Shasta Redding. The final score from Tagger Field in Redding, California. The Colt 45s, 8, and NBO Sacramento, 3. The final sign-off for the 2024 season, Jacob Green saying thank you and good night.
Also applies to the portion supporting candidate blue. In this example, the difference between red and blue would need to be more than 6 points for the results to be outside the error margin. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Puri.
I'm Ashley DeVorkin with the Fox Celebrity Profile with Miranda Cosgrove and Joey King of Despicable Me 4. Cosgrove returns as Margot and loves all the new adds to the adventure, including her new co-stars.
One thing that Despicable Me does really well, I think, is they always have a new amazing villain, and Will Ferrell being the new villain in this movie was awesome. But then I feel like the Poppy character is also kind of like an aspiring villain, but she's really, really relatable because she's sweet and has a heart of gold. So I love that character too.
As if it's me. I'm like, stop.
You're like, thank you.
King hopes audiences get as much of a kick out of this character as she did.
I wanted to make sure I really hit that part of her that's super lovable and also bring something. I did bring a little bit of a different voice than I do have. I'm like a little bit higher and a little bit of a lisp. And I wanted her to feel like these sinister lines with this like childlike voice. Like I thought it made me laugh really hard. And so I was like, I really hope this translates.
Ashley DeVorkin, Fox News.
A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
When asked, who are you supporting for president? 44% said Kamala Harris. 42% said Donald Trump. 13% said Joe Biden. 38% said Joe Biden. Have you been paying attention to the news? 24% said no, not really. Why? 72% said bro, he dropped out 4 days ago. 52% said, oh, my bad, I've been super busy. 11% said, so busy you didn't know the president dropped out? 63% said, will you lay off, man? My job is really stressful. 17% said, sorry, what's your job again? 24% said, I'm the head IT guy at CrowdStrike.
That's so funny. I thought that was funny. That was great. Listen, a lot of you are writing me, and I appreciate it. John Murphy writes this about what Jerry Nadler said yesterday in the hearing. Jerry Nadler, instead of asking questions of the FBI, came out and said, shouldn't the president, the former president, stop using terms like bloodbath? Isn't that dangerous? Basically saying, shouldn't he be arrested? And John Murphy writes this. Somebody needs to ask for a retraction of Nadler's statement. Trump says there'll be a bloodbath if he loses. An outright lie. Hate speech and fuel for an assist. And fuel for an assassin. Sick of these words getting a pass. He is the worst. I agree. Jerry Nadler is an embarrassment to New York. And I know I'm in New York right now. About Kamala Harris. Prop 47 was a California law originally called the Criminal Sentences Misdemeanor Penalties Initiative, but changed to Safe Schools and Safe Neighborhoods Act. This law changed felonies for anyone stealing over $950. This resulted in shoplifting and theft that is rampant in California. No one will get arrested under the level of this theft. Who was the author of that act? Kamala Harris. How devastating is that? Please tell me that the Trump people are putting this out. Because this is the shop, this smash and grab was really coined out in California. Where she was, who wants California justice? John writes this. Trump should start naming his cabinet. Now that Trump has the nomination locked up and has chosen his running mate, he should start naming a few of the rock-solid leaders he plans to head the various cabinet departments. It would be a great contrast to the Democrats who have thoroughly screwed up the top of their ticket. Yeah. And by the way, Kamala Harris, basically, the word is not using the Secretary of State, not using Jake Sullivan, not using Secretary of Defense, who are all terrible, by the way. Absolute embarrassment, but they're doing everything because he doesn't do anything. But I will say this. Early on, I wanted to see him name his cabinet because I wanted people to be assured that people would work for him. Now that's known. What I would do is people that are they're skilled politically, like John Radcliffe, like Mike Pompeo, to go out for him and start campaigning for him, going into fundraisers for him. Even if there's smaller fundraisers, smaller events, if you just say, hey, listen, it looks like I'm going to be CIA director, Secretary of Defense, for example, the governor of North Dakota, why not put him out there? Why not Senator Marco Rubio from Florida? Why not get him out there? These are finalists to be the VP, but I would argue Ben Carson, you know he's going to be in the cabinet. But fanning him out across the country in small and big venues, knowing, arming them with the facts about what Trump wants to do and what Kamala Harris is capable of doing, man, that's a great idea. John Hart, another good idea. He writes me all the time. Hey, go to BrianKilmeade.com. Order tickets for Stroudsburg. It's coming up on Saturday. It's going to be Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, History, Liberty, and Laughs. I'll talk about all my books, including the latest Teddy and Booker T. And by the end, you'll realize we are an exceptional nation. But you'll have facts to back it up at your next barbecue. And it is fun. We recreate great moments in our past. Don't move.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Paid for by American Protection Plans.
Honey, what's wrong?
The hot water just stopped out of nowhere.
Oh, no. I was worried the water heater was about to go. Looks like cold showers for a while. We can't afford to put in a new one right now.
I told you we should have gotten a home warranty plan from ARW Home. A new water heater would have been covered and ARW would have come right out and replaced it. No problem.
When major appliances or systems in your home break down, you get stuck with a huge bill. Thousands of dollars of your hard-earned money gone. Don't get caught. Protect your home and your wallet with a home warranty plan from ARW Home. Right now, you can get plans starting at about $1 a day. Just text BRAIN to 200-300 to get started. Absolutely risk-free. Protect your heating, AC, kitchen, laundry appliances, and even your plumbing, water, and sewer. Text BRAIN to 200-300 right now to get 2 months free. Don't wait. Plans start at about $1 a day. Text the word BRAIN to 200-300. Text BRAIN to 200-300.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world, family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Former President Trump, addressing a Bitcoin convention yesterday in Nashville, has embraced a digital currency in recent years, and he says he will produce the Bitcoin in the United States.
I'm laying out my plan to ensure that the United States will be the crypto capital of the planet and the Bitcoin superpower of the world, and we'll get it done. If crypto is going to define the future, I want to be mined, minted, and made in the USA. It's going to be. It's not going to be made anywhere else.
Mr. Trump is taking his campaign back to Minnesota, a state that has favored Democrats, but the former president thinks he could take it and reach it within this year. Also at townhall.com, Israel says a rocket strike in a soccer field has killed at least 11 children and teens in a town in the Israeli-controlled Golan Heights. Here's BBC correspondent Barbara Plett-Usher.
This is the deadliest strike in the north of the country since cross-border exchanges escalated last October, and it had particularly tragic results. Most of the victims appear to be children and teenagers who were playing football. The attack followed an Israeli strike on Lebanon that killed four militants. Hezbollah fired rockets in response to that, but told the BBC it had nothing to do with the one that hit Majd al-Shams. An Israeli military official said initial assessments and intelligence showed otherwise. Majd al-Shams is a village of Druze Arabs near the border with Syria and Lebanon. They refused Israeli citizenship when Israel annexed the territory in 1981.
Correspondent Barbara Plett-Usher. Three Russian warships have arrived in Cuban waters, Moscow's second such maritime voyage in as many months, in a reflection of deepening ties between Russia and Cuba. The naval group, consisting of several ships, will be docked Tuesday. This is SRN News.
Well, summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
It's a real underwater find.
A team of Polish divers has discovered the wreckage of an old sailing ship loaded to the brim with luxury goods, including porcelain items and bottles of mineral water off the Swedish coast. They believe the precious goods could have been on the way to the royal table in Stockholm or the Russian Tsar's residence in St. Petersburg when the ship sank sometime in the second half of the 19th century. The private Baltitech group of divers, who searches for shipwrecks on the Baltic seabed, made the discovery on July 11th. They've notified Swedish authorities and underwater search experts to determine the next steps in exploring the wreck. Keith Peters reporting.
Pakistani officials say two Japanese climbers are missing and presumed dead while attempting to scale K2, the world's second highest mountain, in the fourth such incident in less than 2 months. The latest occurred earlier Saturday when the pair fell from a height of 7,500 yards. Breaking news and analysis found at townhall.com. A major mistake in the Paris Olympics. Here's correspondent Charles de la Desma.
Olympic organizers have said they are deeply sorry for introducing South Korea's athletes as North Korea during the opening ceremony of the Paris Games, as the North Korean athletes waved their nation's flag on a boat floating down the Seine River on Friday evening. They were announced in both French and English as the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. South Korea is the Republic of Korea, the IOC says in a post on X in Korean. We deeply apologize for the mistake that occurred when introducing the Korean team during the opening ceremony broadcast. I'm Charles de la Desma.
Bridges along the Seine River are opening up and police barricades are being taken down in Paris after the Olympics opening ceremony. But some locals say they're still struggling to get to work. The metal barricades blocking streets were parts of the heightened security restrictions. The ceremony was Friday, and they've left Parisians and visitors grumbling for weeks.
For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. On sale now, all tomatoes, peppers, cantaloupe, and watermelon plants are half price right now. Hurry in for the best selection. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, crepe myrtles, and majestic trees, along with roses and ground coverings. All 1 gallon or larger are all on sale, and all bag soil amendments. Don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Come check them out. The easiest way to find them is on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road, across the street from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Open Tuesday through Saturday. You don't want to miss this sale.
Fox News Radio Studios in Midtown Manhattan, giving you opinions and facts with a positive outlook. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. We have so much going on this week, I never remember a week like it. And my barometer is always Britt Hume. And Britt Hume says, I've never seen anything like it. I'm going to go with him. Jay Johnson is going to be on the bottom of the hour. The former Homeland Security Secretary did a great job for 4 years for President Obama. He came on Fox and Friends. He does come on. He came on Fox and Friends 2 days ago. And his explanation for the border czar, Kamala Harris, was exactly like the talking points that have emerged that Democrats have been handing out reportedly. And obviously you can confirm it. So they know how to answer the question, why is the border so bad? Isn't Kamala Harris responsible? The answer is she's not, because she's not the border czar. And I got to welcome in Shannon Breams this, because I got to get your take on this.
Do you have to?
No.
Contractually obligated to welcome me in.
I need your
point.
Expertise on it.
Right.
In your rich history, do you ever remember something like Axios or ABC going back, changing a story from mm-hmm. 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Because now they suddenly realize she was never the border czar. So when they referred to her as the border czar, they suddenly realized they were wrong. So they changed it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up to date in 2024.
I have heard of this, and if you've read the book 1984, you've also heard of it. Like, it's so weird. Like, just own it. I mean, this is just semantics at this point, because whatever her title was or wasn't, we don't even have czars in this country, so nobody's a czar. But if her assignment was to get to the root causes of the migration problem, have that conversation. Is it solved or not?
That's a good one, but it's also really missing. That's like playing into where they want.
Because
they do have some numbers that show a decrease from the highs
mm-hmm.
on Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua. Honduras, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
They do have some that shows a decrease.
Maybe recently, but not compared to the numbers that Trump had when he ended office.
But see, Shannon, I also think you're giving her a pass by dwelling on what she wants you to. She's done a bad job at that. If hustle means anything,
mm-hmm.
she Zoom called a few times and had one visit mm-hmm. and interviewed with Lester Holt, which was a train wreck. But she was given control of the border. And whether you say czar or that assignment,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's a tough assignment, but it also could be a career-defining assignment.
Right. And vice presidents get stuck with really tough, intractable problems a lot of times. I mean, that is what they do. And so if you're saying that was her assignment, and we have numerous times in the last 3 years where there was a reference to this being on her watch her assignment, from the president, from her. I mean, Peter Doocy pointed out yesterday this old interview he has with her when he's like, basically, you're in charge of the border. There was none of her saying, like, no, I'm not in charge of the border. There was some level of assignment of authority given to her, and the situation drastically devolved.
So the talking points are out. Hey, could you pop them up again, Pete? Would you pop up those talking points again? Here it is. So here's what Shannon Bream, you can expect over the weekend. I'm not sure who you have booked, but when it comes up, Vice President Harris was never the appointed border czar. There has never been such a policy. There's never been such a position. It doesn't exist. The border czar title is invented by Republicans, and the press repeats it. Was not asked to lead the administration's immigration or border enforcement policy. And it goes about nine different ways to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if it sounds a little like this, cut to.
But it's a totally legitimate issue. She was put in charge of the border.
Nope.
She was important border guard to reaching out to the South and Central American countries to stem the immigration.
Now what she's up against is folks lying about her border record, calling her a border czar.
The Biden team didn't declare her the border czar.
Republicans named her the border czar.
So the first one was Jonah Goldberg, who was exasperated. He goes, what? You're changing this in real time?
Yeah, especially, as you said, there are edits that you can see where mainstream media organizations called her the border czar. It was not just Republicans. It was embraced by the media saying this is her role. This is exciting. This is what she's going to do. And again, even if you want to get past the semantics, was she supposed to be getting to the root causes of migration? Did she get that done? And I think most people, if they're being honest, regardless of party affiliation, will say, no, that problem has not been solved.
So we'll see. I just talked to Chris LaCivita. Maybe it's going to – what else are you hosting today?
I will be on the 5.
Okay, you'll be on the 5. I was on yesterday. They're keeping us apart.
I saw that.
Right.
Are we not going to be together today?
I'm pretty sure we're not.
Ugh.
Unless, I mean, I think Jesse's out all week.
Okay, well, you may get the call. I don't know.
Next week, I'm doing the 5 Monday and Wednesday and Tuesday hosting Gutfeld.
Along with your 10 other jobs?
Right. Well,
when do you sleep?
Well, you don't sleep at 5 o'clock. I'm not.
At
100
5 p.m. You
old.
Might if you, but if you get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, you might need a little nap.
2:30.
I love a nap myself.
Right. Absolutely. So, if you do have a chance to talk about this, Chris LaCivita, if that helps any of your shows, was just on with us, and I asked him about what's going to happen because Tony Fabrizio says, listen, she's on a sugar high right now,
of course,
and she might even pull ahead in the polls, but things will settle down. He says there's signs it's already petering out. And that I just asked too, where are you going to go with your record? Are you going to go with the 2020 Kamala Harris ban fracking, ban offshore drilling, defund ICE, decriminalize border crossings, get rid of private health insurance? Or do you go for the next 3.5 years? And he basically says it's a target risk environment. I'm not going to give away my strategy, but indicated that they're looking at all of it, and they were starting really in the spring looking at the possibility of her getting the nomination.
Yeah, and I think everywhere you've seen them running ads on the Biden administration, it's now the Biden-Harris administration, because they're going to say, listen, she owns these policies, whether she had a personal assignment or not, she was part of this administration. And, you know, also this issue about, you know, Secretary Blinken saying that foreign policy is her forte. I don't know that we've seen her do a lot of stuff on the world stage. I mean, the meeting yesterday with Prime Minister Netanyahu was clearly aimed at giving her some gravitas in that place. But where has she been on foreign policy? And it's time to
Shannon,
look at it.
In my opinion, if you want to look presidential, show up for a joint session of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Look like the vice president. And let me know. I disagree with him, but I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right thing to do. I want to hear his speech, get his perspective. I want to hear what his best pitch is, if you want the answer. But instead, our answer was, I'm going to address the sorority, and I'll come back and meet with him tomorrow for 40 minutes.
Okay, but don't you think they could argue that one-on-one meeting is very important? That's a critical thing.
She's
going to talk to him about the ceasefire and about the hostages and everything else, and that's going to be a more substantive thing than sitting in on the address.
I think you do both. I mean, I think you don't have an option. It's almost like saying to Gutfeld, you know, it's more important for you to do your show, not the 5. How do you feel about my analogy?
I like it. We're going to have to call Greg.
They're both important.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, too, think about this mobilization of these young women of these sororities and that sisterhood that lives on for ages. I mean, that is a different level of excitement that she's had, that those folks were not excited about President Biden.
But they're not going anywhere. You're afraid they're all going to graduate and there's going to be no replacements?
Well, no, you could have rescheduled, maybe, or moved it around, but I know that her team is going to say she did the substantive thing.
She just scheduled it.
Meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Right. But you just scheduled it, unless you really did have this coup in place for months, because you just got the nomination. By the way, I think there's two stories here. It can't be one or the other. Number one, she did an unbelievable job consolidating Resport rapidly.
Very quickly.
Or she's been planning it all along.
Well, because weeks even before President Biden had dropped out, there were questions about groups that were coming together to make sure infrastructure was ready for her, and that if this change was made, she would be ready to go. And her supporters had said, listen, we're going to build together staffing and all these different things and talk about the money so that she'll be ready to go. I do think, though, that the sorority group is a powerful group of folks to mobilize who weren't as essentially engaged with President Biden.
No, I'm not against this sorority. It makes total sense.
But I think it makes sense for her to show up there.
Right. Would you know what you say?
What? Do both.
I'm going to come at 4. Because we have this joint address at 2.
So do you think her not going to the joint address was trying to signal so there's a further left flank of the party? I'm not 100% with Netanyahu?
Yes.
Or is she going to be in the awkward position of having to decide when she claps, when she doesn't, when she stands, when she doesn't? Like, you know, it's a little bit of a barometer.
I think the first. I think they're really concerned about Michigan. They're really concerned by being with our ally, we're alienating the Palestinian Palestinian enclave in Detroit, when I think a lot of them probably want to be Americans and understand that we're pro-Israel, or they wouldn't have come here. If you don't want to be with a country that looks at Israel as our key ally in the Middle East, please don't come here.
I mean, what we saw in D.C. just outside our bureau, there in Fox, I mean, was really, I think a lot of folks out there are like, let's start a GoFundMe. We will buy you one-way tickets. If you think this is a good idea. You know, it's one thing for our Griff Jenkins is in the middle of it and saying to people, like, what's your message? And if they're saying, we don't want all this loss of life, the Palestinian people, we get that. I think people, war is horrible and ugly, and people don't want women and children and innocent people killed. But if you're waving a Hamas flag, that's a different message.
Spray painting it.
Yeah, and defacing, and, you know, those of us who live and work in D.C. would like to see that situation not happen again.
How could they overwhelm D.C. cops? Are they that undermanned?
I will say we got a statement from the National Park Police. That was their territory. And they said, we only had 29 officers to control thousands of people who showed up, which then sparks all these other questions for me. Why wasn't Metropolitan Police Department of D.C.? Why weren't they involved? You know, on Capitol Hill, there are dozens of agencies. Supreme Court has its own police. Capitol Hill has its own police. Like, why weren't there more people mobilized?
Shannon, absolutely. So we didn't know that Union Square was going to be. No, you had a permit. They asked for a permit.
Mm-hmm.
And I see at 3 o'clock, they went online and revoked the permit and told them to leave. They
too
went
late.
Online.
Yeah, too late.
Hey, guys, bad news. I know you can't hear me through my mask, but it turns out we got to stop defiling property.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this. You know this. You're a lawyer. I'm burning the flag. People say First Amendment.
Yes.
Well, whose flag? If it's the government's flag, that's a problem.
Or if it's even Union Station's flag.
Yes.
I mean, if it's private property and you are defacing what appears to be a government-sanctioned monument, but also private property, I think that you probably should have seen more arrests. But again, to the Park Police's credit, they're like, listen, we were overwhelmed. There were 29 of us. And whether other police agencies should have been involved is probably a good question.
Are we back to January 6th again? Where was the help? Where was the National Guard?
Mm-hmm.
And both were flagged. Both knew they were going to be protests there. I want you to, in case Kamala Harris, no doubt about it, she's delivered 3 fine speeches.
Mm-hmm.
We know exactly the attack plan, and it's crisp, and it's right. Fine. Good luck with that. Go at it. She's already better at that than President Biden, but she always has been. Everyone on that stage in 2020 was better at presenting. Everyone was better at presenting than President Biden, but he had the most experience. They thought a moderate could be successful. They feared Bernie Sanders. Here's what some Wisconsin voters panel were put together by MSNBC, and it didn't go quite as they thought. Cut 19.
How do you perceive Vice President Harris compared to President Biden?
I think she's worse. She doesn't even know what's going on at the border.
Everybody's excited about her,
right.
And that scares me.
When do you think America will have a female president?
When there's a competent one.
Just
I don't get a good feel for her.
She hasn't done anything in the time that she's had. We don't know anything about her as far as her 3 years so far in the White House. She's not real smart.
No. I would know RFK Jr. way before
her.
Absolutely.
If Vice President Kamala Harris wins the election, do you think that will be an honest result?
No.
No one respects her.
That didn't really go as well as MSNBC thought.
Well, I did see that they referenced one of the panels as a MAGA panel, so I think there were a couple of different panels here, but there were doubts from everybody that they talked to just about saying, also, if she's the one working closest with him, why now, if there was this deterioration, is she waiting until it benefits her to say something? So I think that's probably another line of attack she's going to have to answer.
Let's take a short time out. I want you to think about this question. When is her first sit down with a legitimate journalist to answer real questions?
You think she's coming on Fox and Friends? Have you guys invited her?
I think we do every day.
TBD.
Every time we invite Trump, which we do, we invite her.
Yeah, and she's invited to Fox News Sunday as well.
Back in a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Sneezing, coughing, stuffy nose, runny nose, post-nasal drip, interrupted sleeping. I was groggy at the end of the day.
Allergies and sinus congestion were making Jana miserable. Then, a friend recommended Navage. Navage provides immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Navage helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
Navage gave me instant relief. I didn't have to wait 30 minutes. I didn't have to wait an hour, 90 minutes. I didn't have to wait a minute. I ran the rinse and I felt better.
Stop suffering from congestion and start breathing and feeling your best again with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
I've had people ask me how I find relief, and I tell them Navage immediately. This thing is amazing.
Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your...
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding. We will resume normal programming shortly.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at abacuspays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at abacuspays.com.
Not all policies will qualify. Not available in all states.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A couple who found a whole bunch of cash while fishing in New York makes today's Dean's List. James Kane and Barbie Agostini have an interesting hobby called magnet fishing. It involves a very strong magnet attached to some rope, and you can find some interesting treasure at the bottom of lakes and streams. So interesting that the couple have a YouTube channel called Let's Get Magnetic, where they document some of their retrieved metal objects. So James and Barbie were out in Flushing Meadows Park in Queens and hauled up a large safe that happened to contain $100,000 in cash. You can imagine their surprise when they found it. After contacting the police, they were told that there was no way to trace the owner so they could keep the money. Once the money is accounted for with serial numbers matched up, they will use the cash to put a down payment on a home. Congratulations, James and Barbie. I love your hobby. Janice Dean, Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with writer-director Jeff Nichols of The Bike Riders. He found inspiration for this motorcycle drama a long time ago through Danny Lyon's book of photos of the same name.
I found this book before I even had directed my first film, but
I was in film school, you know, or just out of film school, and immediately you can't look at those photographs and not think, okay, there's a movie here. But then as you start to read Danny Lyon's forewords, there were two in the edition that I found, and then the interviews that he did, you get this entire spectrum of a subculture. It's like a toolkit for a filmmaker. Everything you need to bring characters to life is inside that book.
Is that why, does this really feel like a long time in the making passion project for you? Is this like that one?
This is the one. I mean, honestly, Michael Shannon's been in every film that I've made, and I was talking to him about it on Shocking Stories, our first film together. I was like, hey, I want to make this 1960s biker film, to the point to where he actually thought I would never get it done, and now I've proven him wrong.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
American playwright Tennessee Williams, who grew up in the Deep South, died in 1983. He won the Pulitzer Prize for drama for A Streetcar Named Desire in 1948 and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in 1955. Here, Tennessee Williams explains where he gets the inspiration for his character development.
I have always been more interested in my own kind of people, you know, people that have problems, people that have to fight for their reason, you know, the people that, to whom, you know, the impact of life and experience from day to day, night to night is difficult, and people who come close to cracking and all that, that's my world, those are my people, and I must write about the people I know.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Information you want. Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I have to ask you about something that Donald Trump said at a rally tonight when he was attacking Vice President Harris. He said she is, quote, more liberal than Bernie Sanders. Is that how you would put it?
Probably not. It is just possible for the 83,000th time that Trump is lying. No, I don't think that is the case. I don't quite think that her record is where mine is in terms of being progressive.
Well, Donald Trump's not lying. That exactly is the rating of Senator Kamala Harris, and that she became vice president then. And she was asked that directly by Nora O'Donnell. And this, we've actually played it yesterday. It added a couple of days ago. Shannon Bream's my guest. Shannon, real quick, who's going to be on your show Sunday that you know of? I know everything's fluid.
Yeah, we got Pete Buttigieg with us,
awesome.
Who is a VP shortlister. How does he defend Vice President Harris's record? That's what I'm going to ask him. See okay. How much he tells us. But, I mean, he's joining us. And we've got Senator Ron Johnson, too, on the various investigations that are going on.
Right. One with the assassination. And real quick on the assassination, yesterday it was revealed that local police offered a drone to the Secret Service to fly over the podium and the area, surrounding area, and leave it during the event. They repeatedly said no. So the local police have pushed back. First they were getting the blame, then the slope roof. Now they got pushed back too, because Senator Josh Hawley also has a whistleblower that says someone said they were on that roof, but it was too hot and
they
came
didn't
down.
Stay. Yeah, so I'll be really interested to see what other whistleblowers. We had Chairman Comer on last weekend, and he said they've had multiple whistleblowers come forward. So it seems like every day we get a new revelation about what didn't happen there.
Right, and we'll see where it goes, because Donald Trump told us yesterday that his Secret Service staff is extremely large now, and they're following him everywhere. But you know what he's not getting? Top-level security briefings. And that's unheard of for the nominee from a major party.
Yeah, he's the official nominee, and he's a former president. So, you know, he's got a couple of grounds to argue that we're in this tenuous period where President Biden is a lame duck. He's done on the world stage, essentially, although he's, you know, he says he has a big agenda and things to get done. Well, we have serious hotspots around the world that are ongoing, and whomever is the next president is going to need to be fully read in on where we are.
By the way, Donald Trump didn't lie. Remember this.
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage. But
yeah. Well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator. You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for All. You've supported legalizing marijuana. Joe Biden doesn't support those things.
No.
So someone's not lying.
But that's one of those things, too, that apparently has been modified as well, or there's been some clarification to that. But there was a point in which GovTrack did have her rated as the most liberal senator, and that's saying something.
She signed up for the new Green Deal. It's $10 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
We had to everyone had to change their windows, the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to
do
that?
Did you do it in advance just
in case? I was doing it right before you walked in. I have someone at my house.
Get Pella on the line right now.
I'm not getting solar panels. I'm going to make my windows smaller. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they don't let out as much heat.
And you don't ever set your air below like 78, 80, do you? Even in the summertime?
I don't.
You're
think
a responsible
I'm,
citizen.
I put it this way. I think that unlike any election cycle over the last 16 years, maybe, I don't think anyone's going to be talking about the new Green Deal. I don't think people.
Well, I don't think the left's going to want to talk about it.
Exactly.
But we'll see.
But they used to want to run on it.
Yeah, but now there's a little distancing, as we like to say.
Right.
But I mean, really, you now have records. You know what President Trump is going to do. You know what he stands for. You know what he did during his term, and he's going to say, you know what a President Harris would do because she is, you know, voted a certain way. You have her voting record in the Senate, and you have her support of the Biden-Harris administration policies. Does she break off and become independent on some of those policies and say she's got a different way? We'll see.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Because he can't say, Joe Biden kept saying, I'm a moderate. You know me. Come on, guys. I'm a moderate. I'm not this extremist. She was the one that he was trying to separate himself from in terms of the policies. He ultimately asked her to be the running mate, and now she's virtually the nominee. Shannon Bream, we're going to watch you Sunday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Dinosaurs have taken over Turtle Bay Museum with Expedition Dinosaur, Rise of the Mammals. Open now through September 2nd, featuring large-scale animatronics and life-size models of dinosaurs, hands-on activities, and more. Journey back in time and explore the end of dinosaur reign in this highly interactive and educational exhibition from Stage 9 Exhibits. Expedition Dinosaur, Rise of the Mammals, on display now at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
Tony and Audrey were married for over 20 years. Then they weren't. But when their paths once again collide as they attempt to figure out who gets what from their old cottage, old tensions flare up, not helped by the arrival of their devious daughter. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Moment of Weakness, an incredibly British comedy written by Donald Churchill, directed by Andrew Gibson. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and sponsored by Reading Cultural District, this station, and other pro-arts businesses.
.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR. .5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's not clear to me that any of the protesters associate with the left wing of the Democratic Party when these are individuals who have been aggressively protesting members of the House Democratic Caucus. So that's a factual assumption that is inaccurate.
That's Akeem Jeffries trying to say that they're not anti-Israel. Those protesters absolutely are critical of Democrats. But they think that because the Democrats are letting them down, they know Republicans are firmly in Israel's camp. And we also know the squad, Democrats, all agree with them. We know that Kamala Harris's absence shows to a degree they absolutely agree with those protesters that went out and defiled, wrote Hamas, flew their flag, burned the American flag, took it off these polls. So you can't tell me one Republican who says, yeah, I've had it with Israel. Not one. Not that I know of. Certainly not in office. But I can tell you a whole bunch of anti-Israel, anti-Benjamin Netanyahu lawmakers, I think maybe 40, decided to boycott his appearance. And Speaker Pelosi called it the worst address ever. I call it the best address ever. Netanyahu knocked it out of the park, clearly talked about how this is not just about Israel. Hamas and Islamic extremism is about us. Yuval David joins us now, Emmy Award winning actor, filmmaker, journalist. And advocate for Israel. Yuval, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back on your show. It's always a pleasure to have these conversations with you. What I am inspired by you, Brian, is that you're empowering our American people to speak up. It's part of who we are as Americans. When we see things that are wrong, when we see things that need to be better, it is our duty to not just talk about them, but take action upon it. And I think we still have to wake up this sleepy, silent majority in this country.
So I want you to hear what the Vice President said after 40 minutes with Benjamin Netanyahu. Didn't look like she wanted to take that photo op with him either. Cut 39.
It is time for this war to end. And end in a way where Israel is secure, all the hostages are released, the suffering of Palestinians in Gaza ends, and the Palestinian people can exercise their right to freedom, dignity, and self-determination. There has been hopeful movement in the talks to secure an agreement on this deal. And as I just told Prime Minister Netanyahu, it is time to get this deal done. So to everyone who has been calling for a ceasefire, and to everyone who yearns for peace, I see you and I hear you.
What do you think she's trying to say, and what planet is she on?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, look, Israel has tried to have a ceasefire. Israel has tried to have peace numerous times, actually throughout the course of my entire life. Every single Israeli prime minister and Israeli government has tried to have peace with terror groups. How does one have a ceasefire when Hamas continues to hold hostages and continues to target Israeli civilians and continues to declare that they want to kill more Jews, not just with what they're doing in Israel, but with Hamas operatives and Hamas supporters across the world who are declaring that they want to have another October 7th. So let's just be completely level-headed here. How do you have a ceasefire with somebody who says they want to kill you?
You had 28,000 Hamas fighters. 10,000 are left. How could you possibly stop this war now? Because what they're trying to say is they want peace and a two-state solution. Do they know that the Hamas wants no part of a two-state solution? The Palestinian
Correct.
Authority has shown no impetus to do it. And you know who understands that? Hillary Clinton, of all people. They tried in the 90s, remember?
Yeah, Hillary Clinton has been speaking brilliantly about the complexity of these issues. We're seeing too many people, including, sadly, Kamala Harris and the Squad and all these far-left people within the Democratic Party who are oversimplifying the complexity of what is happening. Israel has gone to the negotiation table time and time and time again, and the Palestinians have rejected it every single time. How can we have a ceasefire while our people are still being attacked? Are you supposed to just turn the other cheek and say, okay, fine, rebuild yourself and then hit me in the face again?
Here's more from Harris. Cut 40.
Let's get the deal done so we can get a ceasefire to end the war. Let's bring the hostages home and let's provide much needed relief to the Palestinian people. And ultimately, I remain committed to a path forward that can lead to a two-state solution. And I know right now it is hard to conceive of that prospect, but a two-state solution is the only path that ensures Israel remains a secure Jewish and democratic state, and one that ensures Palestinians can finally realize the freedom, security, and prosperity that they rightly deserve.
So in that 40 minutes, it's amazing. It's amazing in that 40 minutes what she was able to understand that needs to be done next. And she could really understand the two-state solution. I never heard her speak about it. And that has never been further from a reality.
I mean, how can we have a two-state solution as if Israel can magically create a two-state solution? A two-state solution is up to the Palestinian people. Yet the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, and gosh, of course, Hamas, don't want a two-state solution and have declared that they want a one-state solution, which is what's from the river to the sea that chant is all about. The chant of from the river to the sea is about eradicating all Jews and infidels, which includes Christians, which includes non-religious Muslims, which includes anybody who's not like them, and they want to control that entire region from the river to the sea. So how can we have a two-state solution with a partner that doesn't want to be a partner?
So when you see these protesters, how does that resonate in Israel when you see them defiling statues and ripping and burning the American flag?
Well, I can tell you how it resonates in Israel, but I can also tell you how it resonates for me as a Washingtonian. I live in Washington, D.C. I go through Union Station regularly as I travel across the country and up and back to New York regularly for speaking engagements and advocacy meetings to see the amount of graffiti, which was not just against Jews, saying Jews must die and Hamas is here, but saying death to America, seeing people pull down the American flag as they defaced monuments and then burning the American flag along with the Israeli flag, effigies of Netanyahu, attacking police, that was beyond frightening for me as an American. We cannot let these protests and riots continue. This is not about freedom of speech. This is violent, and they're calling for violence. We need to really wake up and speak about what this is. It is a very frightening thing. It is horrifying for me as an American. As an Israeli, because I'm a dual citizen, it's equally frightening because America is supposed to be Israel's greatest partner. We are both, Israel and the United States, are bastions of a democracy. What we represent for people, this, we have the same values of freedom of religion, equal access to education, health care, people being able to be who they are and how they are and have their opinions and have disagreements. But the people who are protesting and rioting believe that nobody can have any opinion other than theirs.
Absolutely true. I want you to hear Jack Keane listen to what the diplomats were saying, what the readouts from the White House. Knows that the prime minister is going to go visit Donald Trump, where he would find a much more, I think, educated ear. Here's what he said about what he heard. Cut 47.
No, I haven't been for some time, and for the obvious reason, because they began to pull their support. They began to criticize how Israel conducts military operations, and I question their qualifications to do something like that. They certainly, policy disagreements I understand, but the conduct of tactical and military operations, they should stay out of their business. And secondly, certainly they've been wire and brushing Israel as well, for insinuating that they're responsible for the casualties that have taken place inside of Gaza, when we all know that it's Hamas who bears the brunt of the responsibility for these casualties, and Israel has taken incredible precautions to prevent those casualties as much as possible.
So, I mean, then that's what you hear, too, from the director of the Institute of Study of War at West Point. And he says that when it's all said and done, we're getting it wrong about Gaza because we're listening to Hamas's communication arm. They say when it comes to militant as opposed to militant ratio to civilian deaths, they are doing better, the IDF is, than we were doing in Ramadi and Fallujah and Iraq overall.
That is true, and that's something that militaries of most democratic countries have stated as well. When they see how just the IDF is, the Israeli Defense Forces, how careful they are trying to be to limit any civilian casualties. But we also need to recognize how many Hamas operatives there are, and those casualties are vastly amongst these Hamas operatives, people who are calling out for death to Israel, not even just calling it out, but they're fighting. So, yes, of course, Israel needs to fight as much as possible to not just rescue the hostages, because it's enough is enough where these hostages have been held for far too long, but we need to eradicate Hamas. We need to eradicate this terrorist group. And this terrorist group, as Netanyahu said in his very powerful speech, Israel is fighting on the front lines against terror, but that terror is one that's being seen not just across the world, it's being seen here in the United States as well. We need to together fight against it.
For the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, is Jewish. Do you think that that could play a role in moderating her views?
I am not sure how much of a role that's playing in moderating her views, which is one of the concerns that many American Jews are having, especially those who've been voting Democrat and have been in liberal progressive movements such as I have, where all of a sudden we feel this confusion, this political homelessness, saying, oh my gosh, who am I supposed to vote for? Can I still vote Democrat? Doug Emhoff's daughter herself claims to refute her Jewishness and supports Gaza more than she supports Israel. Now, of course, that's Doug Emhoff's daughter. That's the stepdaughter of Kamala Harris. How much influence does that have over her? Now, Doug Emhoff is a very vocal in the fight against anti-Semitism, which makes me feel safer. But we even saw Kamala Harris less than a month after October 7th, who was calling for national strategy countering Islamophobia, even though anti-Jewish racism was reaching new heights. When you're seeing anti-Jewish racism, when you're seeing anti-Semitism, call it out for what it is. You don't need to start talking about issues pertaining to other minority groups.
I know, it's nuts. And they brought up Islamophobia in one of these statements. There's been no complaints about Islamophobia. Don't try to put it in the same breath, because we're watching these horrendous these horrendous uprisings. Then we find out these Columbia students that defiled and defaced and ignored and put up their encampments along with the Coonies, the City College kids, they all have all free. They said if you stay out of trouble for 6 months, your record will be expunged. So what lessons do they learn? They're big heroes now. They can do whatever they want, and they're going to get away with it. That's what it's like in New York. And that's what it's like with this administration.
That's what it's like on campuses across the United States and Canada, by the way. The amount of anti-Jewish racism being seen and being allowed on college campuses across this country is horrible. But let's take it an additional step further. We just had this LGBTQ Pride Month in June, and I'm an LGBTQ activist and have been, you know, for the majority of my life. I was assaulted during LGBTQ Pride. My group was. We were hearing chants of Jews get out, of death to Zionists during LGBTQ Pride. That means that within these liberal and progressive communities, which includes our college campuses, which include all of these marches and demonstrations, we're seeing people who think that it is completely acceptable to condemn Jewish people. That is anti-America. America is supposed to welcome all of us. That's why we say somebody's Jewish American, Indian American,
yeah.
Native American, African American, you know, whatever it is. We need to be who we are as part of this fabric.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Yuval David, thanks. So hope to see you soon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Back in a moment.
Learning something new every day on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Apply stop to opt out. Paid for by American Protection Plans.
Honey, what's wrong?
The hot water just stopped out of nowhere.
Oh, no. I was worried the water heater was about to go. Looks like cold showers for a while. We can't afford to put in a new one right now.
I told you we should have gotten a home warranty plan from ARW Home. A new water heater would have been covered and ARW would have come right out and replaced it. No problem.
When major appliances or systems in your home break down, you get stuck with a huge bill. Thousands of dollars of your hard-earned money gone. Don't get caught. Protect your home and your wallet with a home warranty plan from ARW Home. Right now, you can get plans starting at about $1 a day. Just text BRAIN to 200-300 to get started. Absolutely risk-free. Protect your heating, AC, kitchen, laundry appliances, and even your plumbing, water, and sewer. Text BRAIN to 200-300 right now to get 2 months free. Don't wait. Plans start at about $1 a day. Text the word BRAIN to 200-300. Text BRAIN to 200-300.
My wife and I both, we ended up mildly sick for a few months, and the nasal congestion was probably the worst part. I had like a post-nasal drip, just super congested all the time. We were taking everything we possibly could, but nothing really worked.
Kyrie was miserable until a friend recommended Navage. Navage offers immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Don't live in misery this cold season. Use Navage so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
The biggest thing Navage has done has completely cleaned out my nasal passages. It was from the first use I was able to just clear out anything that was stopping me from breathing correctly. Navage helps me clear the way, literally clear the way, for me to operate better in the rest of my life.
Experience the Navage difference yourself. Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
Interesting people are talking to Will Kane.
I said, what do I call you? I call you Dwayne. I call you The Rock. He said, now that I own it, I can call you The Rock.
Yes, I own it now. You can call me The Rock.
Our next guest needs no introduction. It is Dr. Jordan Peterson, my old friend and frenemy, Stephen A. Smith.
What is going on here? I see the Will Kane show in the background. I see the microphone.
Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com. And get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, the Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
The war on Kilmeade.
Liberal scumbag smear, the anchor I hold dear. The butt of my jokes becomes the left's latest hoax. Yesterday, high-profile Democrats from ex-Senator Claire McCaskill to the DNC chair pounced on Brian Kilmeade because they claim they misheard him say the word college, claiming he said a racial slur. He's a twerp, a tool, a thorn in my side. I don't like his face or his body spray. He's possibly an apostate to hell. Who put that in there? But he's not a racist. The left has put me in the unenviable position of defending Brian Kilmeade when I should be out gathering dog poop to put in his office.
That's Greg doing what he does best, I guess, insulting me in a weird way. So that was him last night. All about that stuff that came up earlier where we were talking about college sorority and this guy in Politico thought it would be a good idea to say it was a different word. And then the thing went wild while I'm doing this show on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. And since our media relations people did a great job squelching it out. And then Greg evidently said to me, do you mind if I do this? The only problem is he emailed me. I have so many emails. I never got it. So he said, by my silence, he thought I green-lighted it, which is fine. Here's Jamie Lissau, the world's one of our favorite comedians here.
I have like a love-hate relationship with Kilmeade. Like, I love when a show ends. I hate when it comes on. And
so that really hurts my feelings. But Tyra said something nice.
I said college and to dignify it is. And let me tell you, anyone who didn't take the time to know about Mr. Kilmeade, first of all, the work he did with Jim Brown with the UFC, they helped build it. Okay, he's had more books. He's done more for Black history than any of the people calling him names about it. I wrote in one of his books. Like this is a dude who loves his job, but the thing he loves most about his job is being fair and being right. Kilmeade's the type of guy who will give you the shirt off his back and his pants. So when you hear, that's who he is. That's who he is. I cannot tell you. Of all the jobs he has, I'm telling you right now, this dude will walk to the other side of the office, just say hello to me and say, hey, you want to do a radio show? Do you need to plug a book? Do you need to do anything? This is who Kilmeade is, so it's laughable. He's the one guy you can look at his track record, and when it comes to race, you could not say one bad thing about him. And from the bottom of my heart, for saying that about him.
Yeah. Wow, that was nice. That really put Greg Gutfeld in his place. Tyrus is the best. That was very nice of him to say. Because I told him about my research with the president of Freedom Fighter, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and the Battle for America's Soul. I taught about Teddy and Booker T, the book that's out now. It'll be a paperback in the spring. And when you talk about what happened to leading up to the Civil War, the abolitionists that pushed our country forward, I find this endlessly interesting. So for this idiot to come out and write that and not really apologize, the more I think about it, he basically said, I'm sorry I misunderstood your word, but didn't apologize for the havoc that he created. But most people, even people that you would think that would not watch Fox, have seemed to all rally to my side, which I think is pretty cool. Special thanks to Tyrus for saying that. Keep it here.
Yes.
Common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code BODY, or text BODY to 511-511 and claim 40% off. Roundhouseprovisions.com, code BODY.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text BODY to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.